Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, tonight we've got ourselves a show. And one of the things that's been happening this week here on CNM, we've had several shows on Wednesday and Thursday talking about the things that are wrong with America and inviting people to call in and giving their solutions to the problems. Now, the thing about the United States is we are a very diverse nation, and I don't mean it in the way the LGBTQ plus cult means it. We have a lot of different ideas. But one of the ones that is going on right now is we have a bunch of people who are in office, politicians from both parties, that should be voted out of office. The sooner the better. Right now, we have about 100% of the Democrats doing what they can to destroy this nation, our Constitution, and our laws. And the Republican side, we have about 85% of them that are doing the same thing. But that leaves us with 15% or even less who are actually fighting and working for America, trying to follow our laws, trying to follow the Constitution, putting God back into all of this. This is where we need to go to rebuild America. Get rid of all the other politicians and work to rebuild with the 15% or less that are actually doing what they can for America. Any other way will not work. As Thomas Jefferson once said, when once a republic is corrupted, there is no possibility of remedying any of the growing evils but by removing the corruption and restoring its lost principles. Every other correction is either useless or a new evil. And that is where we are tonight, folks. We have politicians from both parties who are working to add new evils to things that just will not work. You add an evil to a country and it's not going to do a good thing. And that is where this whole thing is going, folks. We've got Disney pushing drag queen story hour on our children. We've got other people who are doing this. This is wrong. Welcome to the show, and we will be right back.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to
do. Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
We are back. One of the things that we have been finding out, the Democrats here in New Mexico were about a week and a half ago were pushing the idea that the Navajo Nation needed to have a new rule put into it to make sure that the encroaching on the Navajo Nation's sovereignty by putting a 10-mile buffer to ban all natural resource extractive activity really came down hard on the government, because the Navajo Nation actually wanted to be able to do this. They have a lot of oil in these areas where Deb Haaland, who supposedly is doing things for the Indians, decided that she was going to extend the buffer area around all the natural resource extractive areas close to the Navajo ruins and things like this. Well, this is where the oil is, and the Navajos know this. But the Democrats who attacked or who backed Joe Biden's U.S. Department of Interior Secretary Deb Haaland encroaching on Navajo Nation sovereignty by putting in place a 10-mile buffer to ban all natural resource extractive activity are now manufacturing outrage over the U.S. Supreme Court's recent ruling on Navajo Nation's access to the dying Colorado River. The court ruled in a 5-4 decision that the 1868 treaty in question did not include the nation, the government's duty for it to help secure water. Justice Neil Gorsuch, who is from Colorado, sided with the minority, which included all three Democrat-appointed judges. The 1868 treaty reserved necessary water to accomplish the purpose of the Navajo Reservation, Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote in the majority opinion, but the treaty did not require the United States to take affirmative steps to secure water for the tribe. Today's ruling is disappointing, and I'm encouraged that the ruling was 5-4, said Navajo Nation President Boone Nygren in a statement. It is reassuring that four justices understood our case and our arguments. As our lawyers continue to analyze the opinion and determine what it means for this particular lawsuit, I remain undeterred in obtaining qualified water rights for the Navajo Nation in Arizona. The Navajo Nation established water rights negotiation team earlier this year, and we're working very hard to settle our water rights in Arizona. When the DOJ snatched the land around Chaco Canyon from the Navajo Nation for supposed conservation purposes, Democrats lauded the decision to infringe upon the Navajo sovereignty. Now they are claiming to care about the tribal nation. Far-left Democrat Congresswoman Marilyn E. Stansberry said in a melodramatic tweet, this shameful decision upends more than 100 years of legal precedent at the expense of tribal water rights and trust responsibility. Far-left U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich wrote, a 5-4 majority in the Supreme Court just denied the Navajo Nation's right to life-sustaining water. This is an extremely disappointing decision that fails all tribal nations. However, the radical Democrats previously sent out a joint statement applauding the Chaco Canyon ban, disregarding the tribe's sovereignty at the time. They wrote, we applaud this historic step to protect Chaco's irreplaceable resources for future generations. So the Democrats want it both ways. And it seems like we are already going here. Let me add a few people here. 323, that's
where's my pizza?
Joe?
Look,
hello,
I
Joe?
Ordered my pizza two hours ago. Where is it? Where is it, fella?
I want my pizza. Okay.
You don't know where my pizza is?
No,
I'm going
I really
to Domino's. I'm going to Domino's.
Domino's, okay. What we have here, today I really didn't have that much time to plan for the show because our air conditioner went out in our apartment today, and it's like 96 degrees out there. Good day for this to happen, but they got things going.
Yeah, but
going.
I got the gist of what you were saying. I wanted to ask you a question about that, but the okay. But as I was formulating the question, you had already answered it by reading that part of the article, which did answer it. I wanted to find out if the government took away the water rights from the Navajo Nation at the time when they, you know, were conquering America, or did they do it recently? Apparently, they did it recently. So the Navajo Nation has had access to this water supply, I guess, ever since they became the Navajo Nation on the reservation. Now the United States government has the balls to take away their life-sustaining source.
Yep.
You know, this is just typical of our government, isn't it?
And it's happening at a time when we're having a heat wave down here that's just pretty much historic in a lot of ways. There's a couple of people who were coming across the border illegally and have died because heat down there is like at 110 degrees every day. It's inhuman as hot as it is.
I'm used to that kind of temperature, not because of Montana, but Montana's a lot warmer than people think. But
yeah.
I used to live in Arizona, and in Arizona,
yeah.
His temperature is over 100 degrees every day. So
every day,
that
yeah.
was nothing.
Well, I was born in Montana, so I know what you're saying.
Yeah, right. It's got, don't we have nice warm winters, relatively warm winters, a lot warmer than people think, and nice summers?
Well, actually, it was rather cold when I was there, but
well, what do you mean by yeah?
I moved from there and went to Colorado, so I went from
well,
one
Colorado's,
extreme to the
Colorado's
other.
Colorado's cold.
Yeah. Yeah, I lived in a small town called Gunnison, and it they would have the notation of being the coldest spot in the nation. When they reported, when they didn't report, they were usually the coldest, but that place up in Minnesota usually got it because Gunnison didn't report.
Oh, yeah, Minnesota's cold. So, by the way, how's your eye doing?
My eye's doing good, actually.
Good.
I'm still seeing real fuzzy out of it, but I just went to the doctor over at last week, and he said what they did was they replaced the lens and left the retina. The retina had a bulge in it that they said would eventually start going down. Well, it's already half the size that it was before, so things are clearing up, but it's still, if I look at things through my right eye and things through my left eye shows everything the way it should be. My right eye shows everything just a little bit wider, so it's because of the retina that's spreading things
yeah.
out. I'm starting to see things again.
And you've got a panoramic view, at least for now, and then eventually
oh, absolutely.
It'll... Yeah. Hey, what happened to it? Was it an injury or was it because of something internal?
It was probably something internal. It could have had something to do with when I was younger. I used to work in print shops. And I worked in the dark room, and worked with ultraviolet lights all the time, and I had one in the one of the plate makers that I had had a the light that was always on and had a thing that would open and close when I turned on the light. Uh-huh. And one time it didn't close. And the only way to get that thing to close was to take the protective cover off of it and then hit that lens thing so it would close and then put the protective cover back on. Well, I burned my eyes doing that. So that might have contributed to what's going on. But the doctor says that it's looking good, and I'm starting to be able to see things again. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, progress and any type of medical ailment is good. I mean, as long as you're seeing progress, it doesn't. Hopefully, it doesn't hurt, but it's probably uncomfortable. But
well, that's the thing that really kind of surprised me, because he told me that he gave me pain medication and said that I'd probably have to use it, and I never did. There were a couple of times when I'd wake up in the morning and there'd be a little bit of pain there, and I'd take some couple of Tylenol, and I was fine. So he was real surprised about that, because they really dug into it, and they there was a bulge on the outside of my eye, and they cut that off, and then they took the lens out, got rid of a cataract, and did all kinds of stuff. So he said he was surprised that I didn't have any pain, because they did a lot.
Well, he probably cut the nerve enough so that you're not feeling pain.
Hey, that's the I know that I think I think New Orleans Wake Up is also on the phone.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
You should have been around when Walton was on my show a few days ago. He offered a very good solution.
I heard that. I listened to the show.
Did?
And yeah, the first one I got to listen to. The second one I had to go in afterwards, because when I finally realized you guys were there, I went in and the chat room was still there. So I added a few things to it, but I got to listen to what was being said. And I came back in after the show was over and actually listened to it. And there were some good points brought up on that.
I enjoyed the show on being on Joe's show. I enjoyed being on his show, ironically, more than my show, you know, when I was a host.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to let Warren wait too long. Not too long, but let him wait about 5 more minutes. Okay.
Well, I've got him on there. So if he wanted to talk, he probably can, but I'm not, because he put his hand up. So I'm not
you let him in.
On the line.
Okay.
He says I'm not recently on the line, so I guess there's somebody else there with a Skype number. It might be Sarge. I don't know. But usually Sarge is in the chat room, and I don't see him. So, but
we can let him in if they raise their hand.
Yeah. Some of the things that you guys were talking about, though, the coalition of hosts, I thought that was a really good idea. And I wrote down some of the things that you guys were saying about it. And I thought that was actually a really good idea. It's something that it could actually become a big thing if news of
if it's handled properly.
If it's well thought out. And I heard all you guys talking about who should be in charge and all that stuff.
You want to be in charge?
Oh, hell no.
You want to take it?
I'm having
problems.
Hey,
let Warren be in charge. Let Warren be in charge. Oh, we'll all be Democrats in 1 month.
But, I've been trying ever since I got a hold of Conservative Nation Media. You know, I just really do not have the know-how to be the leader part of it. So, one of you mentioned Lori Ann. I thought she'd probably be pretty good, but she didn't seem too pleased.
Why not? No, she didn't want it either.
She didn't want it either.
She didn't want it. Nah, she's like, nobody really wants it. And for good reason. But the thing is that eventually we are going to have either a leader or somebody had brought up, somebody named Adam had brought up the fact that every time he's been with an organization that's had like a solitary leader, there's been people who have infiltrated, or there's been arguments back and forth, and somehow the original concept and or the organization itself becomes seriously diluted.
Well, you know, one of the things you could probably do is pick a leader, but keep him only for like a month or two, and then change to someone else. And that way, everybody
have elections.
And everybody would get their hands in it. And if they've got a good idea, then when the next election comes up or next time to change would come up, they could put their ideas out there and see what people think. And if they get elected, he or she gets elected, then it would confirm that they had a good idea.
She has the reins. Yeah, she has the reins for a while, and we'll see whether or not the leadership as proposed by whoever wants to be the leader at the time will actually, you know, come to fruition. So, yeah, I mean, that's an idea. I was also thinking of like a triumvirate, which you have three people, and, of course, you have two against one, and the one who is in the minority loses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way, too. Elections, I just thought of it just now. I mean, we could have that too. Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought about that after you guys were discussing that, and I thought, well, you know, instead of having somebody just be totally in charge for a while, you know, just put somebody in charge, and then maybe in a month or so, change it and put somebody else in charge. So that way you'd get a whole bunch of different ideas from different people, and if the people are all in there to help America be a better country than what's going on now, then that would actually probably work out really good.
Well, hopefully. I mean, there's such a long way to go. I mean, some of the plans are to contact the media and let them know that we're around. But then again, we have to formulate clout. That's why I suggested that we rip apart a specific congressman, congresswoman that we pick, and just rip them apart for about, I wanted to do it for about a month, but Lori Ann suggested for about a week, and that may be even a better idea. So to rip them apart for a week or so. And, of course, incorporate the issues that he's not attending to let the people know that they've elected a real scumbag. And use that as clout, you know, because as Warren had said either this week or last week, he was talking about making the politicians feel nervous. So if we start talking about them,
making them feel nervous would be a really good idea.
Yeah, it would. And to let them know that we're talking about them, and not just one person, but maybe 10, 20, 30 people. It's better to have 30 people ripping apart one politician than just one person.
Yeah, absolutely, and there's power in numbers, and that's something that I've always thought about. You know, it's just you have one party who is pushing everything right now, whether they're in charge or not, they continue to push everything. Hello, Lori Ann, good to see you there. The other party.
Hello,
just...
X. Hello, X. I'm calling her X from now on.
X.
She gave me a hard time over Lori, you know, as opposed to calling her Lori Ann. And, you know, she was calling me Joey for months, but she doesn't take that into consideration. X, you X.
She just left.
She's going to call
in
then.
She's back in. Now she's going to call in, or maybe.
Yeah, she'll call in now.
But, I was getting ready to start putting my stuff together for the show today, and they had a prediction that today was going to be like 96 degrees or something like that, and our air conditioner just hasn't been working well.
I know. You told me you said that. Yeah, you must be sweating.
In my studio here, it's like 81 degrees right now. And I've got a little one of these swamp cooler type coolers here inside the thing, and I keep filling it with ice water. so it's blowing cool air on me. But out in the living room, they brought in a one of those portable refrigerated coolers, and it's really cooled it down in there. But
good. You don't need to have excess heat for your eye.
Oh no! But he came. The guy came in and he checked it out, and he thinks that the fan motor inside here needs to be replaced, because they've got it where it's got four different speeds, but they've got it set on the lowest speed, and the fan itself is starting to go out. So one of the reasons why it's so hot in here. But hopefully by next week they'll have it fixed.
I'm actually used to hot temperatures. As I told you before, I lived in Arizona for a while when I was in the service, and I was used to 100 degrees during the day. And when I moved to my apartment here, at the time, they had antiquated wiring, so you couldn't bring your air conditioner with you. So I had to abandon that for my – but so I got used to the heat inside the apartment, which, you know, can be a lot. So I don't have an air conditioner now. I have a fan, and that's all I need.
Yeah. Well, the weather here actually is, when it comes to being hot, it's not really that bad, because like right now it's starting to get windy and the temperature's gone down to 89, but the humidity is like 5%.
Which is good. Which is good, but you know, I always like those discussions about, you know, the humidity is 55%, the humidity is 5%. So in one case, you're broiled to death when it's 55%, 60%. In the other case, you fry to death when the temperature is over 100. So to me, you know, being uncomfortable, whether you're hot or dry, is still being uncomfortable for people who can't take the heat.
Yeah. You know, saying today's temperature was 96, tomorrow's supposed to be 95, then 96, 98, 97, 98, 94. Oh, that's going to be a cool day.
Yeah.
Then people 2 days of 94, and then it goes back up towards 100 again. So.
Yeah.
So
I know.
That's the one thing that I've always been thankful for, you know, here in Albuquerque, that's the humidity is usually fairly low. So if it gets nice and hot outside, it's still not too awful bad. And if you get a wind going, the wind actually feels cool even at 100 degrees. So
and being in the shade, you'd be surprised, you know, people think, you know, if you just go into the shade, it's not going to help much. When you have over 100 degrees, being in the shade does help.
Yep. And it looks like Joseph just showed up.
Is that Joe G?
Yep. He's in there. Duck Northwest is in there. Joe is in there. Lorianne's there. And New Orleans Wake Up is there.
In the chat room? Hey, pussies, ever hear of a talk show? You're supposed to call in. Huh?
Oh, I'm sure they will. I know I've got...
In the chat room. But you were also talking about not only the water rights, but about the Uniparty. How the Republicans and the Democrats are they're just scum. To me, there's no other word to describe them. They're traitors, they're scum. They look forward to having their, you know what I read the other day? That you can buy a politician. One of the people, an official from the WEF, was bragging about how they bought politicians for as low as $10,000.
Wow. Yeah, one of the people that I'm actually talking to try and get her on my show is Yvette Harrell, who was can't remember if she was a congresswoman or a senator. I think she was a senator, not really sure though. But she's running for office again. So
I'll bring her on your show so I can grill the chick.
Yeah.
We'll find out if she's actually a worthwhile candidate. I don't care if she was in Congress or not. If she, we need, well, We need people who have guts, you know, and not articulate people, people who have guts. And
well,
that's
where her problem came in with New Mexico, because she was trying to do all the right things, and the Democrats were coming out against her, and the governor went against her, and then the governor changed her district.
Her district?
She was in. Uh-huh. Yeah, because she had this the southwest corner of New Mexico was her district, and it was almost everybody there was Republican. What they did was they added a whole new section and went right up the side of New Mexico all the way to the edge of Albuquerque, and every bit of the part that they added was Democrat. And after they did that, she lost her last election, but she didn't lose by much, but she was pretty much taken out of it by what they did. And that she's running again, so I've been trying to get her on the show and letting her know, what the number is, how to get here and all this stuff, and when I do the show. So hopefully one of these days she'll call in, and you know, she says she's been pretty busy lately because she's running a campaign and everything. So,
what do you people in the chat room call in? Because I'm, like I said, I'm only going to be on here for no more than a half an hour because I have things to do on the weekends. So why don't you people call in and, you know, assume
I
the
haven't.
Position of being a caller.
He is in.
Okay, good. Hey, Joe. Good. I'm glad you're here. Now I can leave before I hear my ex call in and start giving me a hard time, because you know how women are. They just feel like creating drama. Drama.
You're doing everything you can to get her to call in and start a war, huh?
Absolutely. So come on, Lorianne. See, I called you Lorianne. You can't ignore me now, Lorianne. All right. Okay, Joe. I'm glad you're here. All right, Bob. I'll see you guys. You have a 2-hour show tonight, so I may just drop by before midnight. But until then, you guys have a good show, all right? I'll talk to you.
I'll do my best.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Hello, Joe. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. What's the top? What were you guys talking about? He just bolted out of here. I mean,
yeah, he bolted out of here. Well, we've discussed several things. One of the things that we were talking about was my air conditioner here. It went out today, so it's rather warm in this place. But I was also talking about how I've been talking with Yvette Harrell, who is running for Congress here in New Mexico. And she's a Republican, and she actually did a really good job while she was in Congress this last time, and the Democrats decided they didn't want her in here, and they changed her district so that everything they added to it was all Democrat, and she lost by just a couple thousand votes after that one. But we talked about the Navajo Nation and how they are being forced into accepting what the Democrats here in New Mexico want by taking away their ability to use their land closer to the ruins and stuff like that to get oil and water and things like that. So they're and now the Democrats are changing their tune on that, but they're still keeping that ban in there. Other than that, we hadn't really talked about too much of anything. I think I got that thing from Opinion Post here in New Mexico. Let's see if I can get it back in there again.
I'm watching a video right now where the local police department here arrested a police officer for sexual misconduct. I guess he got off work and went and picked up a girl, I guess, and I guess there was a complaint made that it was inappropriate sexual relations because I guess she had a disability. So I guess someone's made a complaint, so now he's out of a job and he's fired because the relationship went awry and allegations are made. So just because allegations are made, now he's fired. So now the police department's saying, and the news media is ripping apart the police department, you know, aren't you going to do extensive background checks? Couldn't you tell this was going to happen? I mean, listen, What's that got to do with anything? You know, I can't stand when people do that. They think that because someone got in trouble 20 years ago or 15 years ago, that disqualifies them from being a good person or from being a good police officer. Some of the best cops would be the inmates. I'll tell you that right now. Okay? Because the people that haven't gotten caught yet, those are the real sneaky criminals, if you ask me. We've got to stop that in society.
Yeah, one of the things that New Orleans Wake Up just mentioned in the chat room is something that I think a lot of us are afraid of. He says, I'm concerned about the start of World War III with what's going on.
Why? What's going on?
That's what he put in the chat room, and I kind of agree, because we've got a president right now who has shown the world that he's weak. We've got Putin, who has decided that he's going to take over everything he can. We've got Ukraine going.
Well, what's Putin going to take over? He's not going to take over anything, Putin. I mean, there will be a war. There will be a war. Okay.
Yeah.
There's going to be a nuclear war, most likely. It says it in the Bible. Okay.
Yeah.
And Damascus, it'll probably be the city of Damascus, because the Bible says that the army comes down from the north and attacks Israel, and it's going to happen. Okay, Israel just discovered the largest natural supply of natural gas in the world. That means they'll knock Russia out of the box from supplying Europe with natural gas. Okay, so Russia will be angry with Israel, and Iran is an ally of Israel, and we know Libya hates Israel. We know Syria hates Israel. Okay, and there will be some sort of false flag that will happen, and there will be a war that will start, and it says it's a one-day war in the Bible, so one day, and all the people will drop their weapons in an instant, so that, and there will be fire and brimstone, so that sounds like a nuclear war to me, because the bodies will be left in the streets for 7 months, you can't touch them, that sounds like radiation contamination. So it's amazing how the Bible depicts all this, and this is all prophesied and foretold, and every prophecy that has been foretold has come true concerning Israel. I mean, they foretold Israel becoming a nation again. It said when the fig tree puts forth its leaves, not a generation shall pass, and these things will come to pass, and he talks about it in Matthew chapter 24. The fig tree in the Bible is Israel, very clear it is, and the fig tree put forth its leaves again after being destroyed in 70 AD in 1948. Wow. How was that predicted? How the heck was that predicted? How did Jesus know Israel, the only nation on earth to do this now in the history of the world, to be completely destroyed and then in one day, boom, become a nation again? And that's how it began. In one day, it became a nation again. How did Jesus predict that? Wow. That's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, and what's a generation? A generation in the Bible is 80 to 120 years. So you figure 100 years, let's just say 100 years. So that would bring us to 2048. That's when the end will come, around that time, around, 80 to 120. Well, nobody knows the hour, the year, the time, but we know the season. Paul says we'll know the season, but we won't know the exact hour or time. So, and Jesus said that too. So we don't know the exact day that the end will come, but we're coming around that time. So it's coming.
It's coming. We're in the end times. One of the things that New Orleans Wake Up said when we were talking about Putin there for a second, he said Putin is not the problem. U.S. hegemony is.
No, the United States isn't the problem at all. The United States is the only thing that's preventing World War III right now. When the United States collapses, okay, because we're the only friend Israel has right now. We're the only ally they have. Once we stop backing Israel, they will be attacked. What do you think is holding back all these countries from attacking Israel right now? They hate Israel. They can't stand them. Who do you think is holding it back? The United States. You touch Israel, we'll knock you all out of the box. And when the United States collapses, forget about it. World War III will be on the horizon.
Yep. And New Orleans Wake Up says not true.
Well, then the Bible's lying. Then the 525 prophecies that have been fulfilled over the last 2,000 years have never come true. I'm a liar. The Bible lies. And the next 480 prophecies that are predicted aren't going to come true, I guess. Well, let's just wait and see, because I bet you they're going to come true. Are they getting ready to build that temple? That's one of the prophecies foretold. How did the prophets from 2,000 years ago know that that temple was going to be built? I don't know. Men wrote that book, I guess. I don't know. They're just making it happen. Yeah. Come on, man. The Bible doesn't lie. Rightly divide the word as a workman approved unto God, and you will understand what's going to happen. The Bible is a book, not a fairy tale. Trust me.
Yeah, I know. I do a lot of, like with my updates that I do Monday through Thursday, I always put a Bible verse in there that pertains to what I'm talking about. And it's easy to find. All you have to do is just look, and there's stuff there pertaining to everything going on today.
Yeah, the answers are there. It answers the flat earth, its theories. It answers everything is there. If you study it, and it answers to every question that we have on earth, the problems we face today. All you got to do is read the damn book and understand it. It's not that hard. If you don't have the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit within you, you can't understand the Bible. You can't get it. You just won't get it. It's a book of riddles to you. So until you get on your knees and you accept Jesus and you believe wholeheartedly that, and put some, and ask God to come into your life and read the book and open your heart up to the book, you'll never get it. You'll never understand it. It's just riddles to you. So it's just blah, 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 blah. That's all. So just don't even bother trying to read it until you accept God, and accept and believe. That's all. And look, don't believe me. Like I said, look, the bottom line is this. This is how I always close out the arguments with when people don't want to believe anyway. Ask Jesus to come into your life. Ask God to come into your life. Change your life. Believe in God. And if you don't see a change in your life and the things in your life and the way you think and the way you handle things or you don't see an immediate change, then I guess I'm a liar then. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I saw a change in my life.
Yeah. I've seen a change too. It didn't happen immediately, but it did happen. So it's one of the things that New Orleans Wake Up said, you guys have no geopolitical insight.
That's fine. You can call it whatever he wants, any worldly names he wants. What should I have insight from? Well, I guess he doesn't believe in God then, I guess, right? He doesn't believe God. Or what's he believe? Prophet Muhammad? I mean, what's he believe? I mean, I don't know. I mean, he has no faith in Scripture. He's saying that Scripture is false. I mean, the seven translations of the Bible, which was prophesied also. How did we get the seven translations of the Bible? How did the Book of Psalms write that? Let's see, your word will be purified seven times like silver. Like a furnace. Seven times. So we got seven translations of the Bible. English is the seventh and final translation of the Bible. Amazing, isn't it? If you go back to all the translations, Hebrew, Aramaic, Latin, Greek, Coverdale, Tyndale, you go through the seven translation steps. It's all there. Look, you can criticize, you can say you call us names, you can say we don't have this, or you could keep punching up at the sky in 2 feet of water, drowning, yelling at the world and not getting any answers, or you could just sit back and get the answers and humble yourself and, like I said, accept God, accept His word. Men wrote that book. You don't think God's powerful enough to inspire men to write the book? Come on. come on.
Yeah, well, I've been watching the chat room, and Lorianne's not saying a thing. New Orleans Wake Up, he's constantly talking. He's saying I read that he said you guys have no geopolitical insight. He said after that, he said the U.S. is a dying empire, and like all dying empires, they become desperate to try to prove that they are still number one. The ship has left towards the multipolar world, and the U.S. has to make a choice, but continuing to bully other nations is over. Right at the moment, we're not really bullying anybody.
I know. Who are we bullying? What are you talking about? And number one, and right now the United States is number one in the world. We have the strongest military. And whether or not you can say it's on its way out or not, whatever, that fine. 100 years from now, maybe it will be. But right now, we are number one. USA, number one. USA, number one. We're number one in everything. No matter how sick our country is, no matter how perverted the people are with inside the inner walls of America, we're still number one. We got the strong. No military in the world can stand up to the United States. We'd knock them out of the box in a second. Our technology is superior to anybody else around the world. We are number one. And nobody can invade the United States right now. That's right, and I'm proud of it.
Yep, and that's right now. But, he says, like I said, you guys have no geopolitical insight.
Well, he can hope and pray for China to take over the United States. All he wants is never going to happen, not at least in my lifetime. But one thing, though, the United States is not foretold in the Bible anywhere. Theology scholars cannot find the United States. So is that part, where does it play out in the 10 kingdoms that's foretold in Daniel's 77th week? Well, we don't know. I don't know. So does the United States collapse? I don't know. If it does, though, you're going to see the end of days come, so if that's what you want, then that's fine. I welcome it too, the rapture. I say, let's get raptured out of here. Let's go. Let's do it. To hell with it then. To hell with the fighting, God, please come back, please. come back.
And Lorianne says, I don't think it will be the 100 years before the USA as we know it, as the biggest superpower gets unseated. That was started and will happen sooner, not later, in her.
It probably will, but once it does, though, look out. The world is going to, you're going to see, you run and hide. You're going to beg for death. You're going to seek death. It says in the last days, men will seek death and they shall not find it. It's going to be hell on earth. There'll be no more freedom. That's a fact. What you think China's going to offer you a better place to live? You think Russia's a better place to live? You think Sweden or Norway's going to take over? Or Venezuela? How about Venezuela? That would say a good place to go, right? Let's see, they're eating rats and mice down there. Right now we need to hope and pray that the United States hangs on. It is contradictory if you talk about the Bible, what I was just talking about, because I can see where people could say that. You're saying, the end, don't you want your God to come back? I do, but at the same time, I rejoice in life. I want to live and be free, but I don't want to see suffering. All this suffering that's going on around the world right now, I kind of want the Lord to return, but doesn't mean I'm not going to stand up to evil, though, and allow it to, take its course. Evil flourishes when good men do nothing. So, I want to see, I'm going to always stand up against tyranny and fight the good fight, because that's what the Bible tells us to do, fight the good fight,
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that, you had mentioned some good stuff there, but New Orleans Wake Up says it has already happened. The U.S. is defeated. The elites just won't accept it. Well, the U.S. is not defeated yet.
No.
It could very well be that it's on its way, but it has not happened yet.
No, we're still very much in control right now. Right now, as of today, we are in control of the world currency right now, which the world trades in the dollar. And our military is the greatest military right now in the world. That's a fact. There's no other military that can rival us. If an American base is attacked anywhere on this planet right now, you will see that the sleeping giant wake up so fast that, the technology we have is just, impeccable compared to other militaries around the world. Oh, I got to take this call real quick. I'm actually going to try to get him to call into this show real quick. Mike from Florida. So let me take this call real quick, okay?
Okay. Okay, all we right. will be right. We will be right back with give our next messages, and we'll be right back. The news for America that is good for America never gets reported. So that's why shows like NWCR Radio exist. We will be right back after these important messages.
Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Well, in the storm of any unplanned event, it is always best to gather all the information you can before planning your route. That is where CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque come in. Our services include pregnancy testing, ultrasounds, STI testing, education, and after-abortion care. What most people do not realize is this. Men are involved in this, too. A large percentage of all abortions are perpetuated by the father of the baby. And we have female and male advocates at each center to meet and talk with those who come to our centers with questions. You can contact any of our centers here in Albuquerque for further information. There are two, with our Northeast office at 505-880-0862 and our Southwest office at 505-360-0090. Outside of Albuquerque are Edgewood at 505-281-5408, Rio Rancho at 505-896-2305, and Los Lunas also at 505-565-3838. That's CareNet of Albuquerque, where help is always there for those storms that are always just around the corner.
Okay. Let's see here. Okay, we are back. I've had several callers call in and then put their hand up and then leave. So I had a caller at 305-910-62 number come called and then dropped, and then 336-708 called in and then dropped. So I'm not sure what was going on there, but there's a whole bunch of things that are going on right now. You know, Arizona's Governor Hobbs limits abortion-related prosecutions. Of course, she's a Democrat, so that's probably the reason for that one. Speaker McCarthy, last night sometime about 11 o'clock or so, I got the news that Marjorie Taylor Greene had put out a thing trying to push a bill to expunge Trump's impeachments, which, you know, and since his the reasoning for the impeachments have pretty much been debunked, they should be expunged. And now the latest article on this one comes out with Speaker McCarthy supports expunging Trump's impeachments. And it says this from Newsmax, it says House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said Friday he supports the idea of expunging the two impeachments of Donald Trump as hard right Republican allies of the former president introduce a pair of proposals to declare it as though the historic charges never happened. McCarthy told reporters that he agrees with Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene and Elsa Stefanik, who want to erase the charges against Trump from the former president's impeachments of 2019 and 2021. I think it's appropriate, said McCarthy and the Republican from California, just as I thought before, that you should expunge it because it should never have gone through in the first place. And that's one of the things that's coming out with a lot of stuff now, is that a lot of the stuff that is coming out is now being told that it should never have happened. I've got 336-708 in here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Is 305 on there?
Just was, and then he left.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, he as soon as he calls back in, yeah, they don't like to wait too long.
Yeah, well, I as soon as they called in before, I saw the hand go up, and I pushed to put them on the air, and they disappeared. So,
all right.
You know, one of them was 305, and the other one was 336-708. So, and that was you.
All right,
I guess.
I'm sending them on message now. Yeah, he's got some interesting stuff to talk about. He's got a couple other people on the line with him. I think there's an echo. Do you hear an echo?
No, I do not. I usually do.
Might be Mike. Huh. I hear an echo when I'm talking. Well, I don't know if it's my phone.
Yeah, Lori Ann says in the chat room that once upon a time the USA was not the world superpower and we were a better nation in many ways back then. We had more sovereignty and didn't have to answer to other nations nor spend billions to other countries or allies' sovereignty. We weren't spending billions or trillions having bases all over the world, and we didn't have a CIA interfering with other nations' governments and overthrowing their leaders and having unconstitutional wars, all for the national interest instead of actually national defense. And that was actually a pretty good point. That was Lori Ann, Lucid Libertarian Lori Ann, who said that.
He said he didn't want to intrude on your show. That's what he said, the message. I said, no, we're waiting on you. I'm going to have to call in and have a conversation.
Would not intrude at all. The more the merrier. So if he calls back in.
I'm just sending a message now. Yeah.
If he calls back in, and I'll put him on just like Lori Ann and New Orleans Wake Up. They call in, I'll put them on.
Yeah, they should be calling back. Anyway,
yeah.
But it could be my phone with the echo, because I do hear an echo.
Usually I hear one, like I'll be talking, and I'll have an echo that's like about three words behind. And I'm not hearing that today, so that's actually something I think.
Blog Talk Radio.
And Lori Ann says, you are echoing. I'm listening online and you are echoing.
Yeah, I am?
He says,
okay.
He says, need to mute your laptop or something because you have a bad echo still.
Yeah, it's not me. It's not my, I don't have a laptop. I'm talking on a cell phone right now. But let me hang up and call back in, okay?
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Got 111 who called in. Master Teacher is on the line. Hello, New Orleans Wake Up. And hello, Bringing It Boy. You there? Okay, well,
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Yeah, I can hear you. It's Mike with the BigVirusHoax.com and RighteousArmy.org and a friend of Joseph Gibson's blog talk show. And I have my buddy and fellow godly righteous warrior, Josh, out of Wisconsin, on the phone with me as well. I came on earlier and I left because there's so much I can say, and I don't want to, you know, sabotage your show and just take all your time here. I know Joe's on, so I was going to tell Joe that maybe what we could do, Joe, is, you know, I was talking with Joe an hour ago, and I was covering a lot of stuff. So I think what I'm going to do, Joe, if it's cool with you, next Tuesday when you do your show, I'm going to do a Zoom meeting at the same time of your show, and I'm going to be on the call with you on my phone on your show, but I'm going to do a Zoom meeting at the same time and cover all those issues that we were talking about. Really cover everything from A to Z, you know, on the Trump, the Q, the double PSYOP, you know, the New World Order, the med beds, you know, the whole nine yards. We'll cover it all.
Yeah. Okay, we got 336 back in there.
All right, it's good. Mike, I hear Mike's voice on there now. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, the conversation we were having earlier, it's an interesting conversation to bring forward because I'm a skeptic and I'm a guy that wants results, and I've heard all this crap before and all these stories and everything. But I was talking to a pastor, actually, and he said, that's a PSYOP. That's PSYOP. Immediately after I got off the phone with you earlier, Mike. And I said, no, I trust this guy. I said, if this guy's telling me it's legit, I believe him. You know, and I says, you know, you have no evidence this is PSYOP. You're just saying that because you're a doubter anyway, because he's one of these good old boys that, you know, does whatever the church says, and, you know, and you know, he believes, you know, the rapture is going to happen, and, you know, before anything bad happens. He's one of these, you know, students of the Bible that, you know, is with the good old boys, you know. So, you know, he doesn't openly think like you and I are on a search for truth. Mm-hmm. So. But Mike, yeah. Can you go and get into that a little bit, Mike? Of if you don't mind, or what we were discussing earlier.
I don't mind at all.
Yeah, who's the host again?
This is Robert.
Robert, hey Robert.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we've met or talked before on Joe's show or anything, but thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate that. And if you want to, yeah, I mean, I'll do it now, and then maybe again, I'll just do it again. Because it's a lot of important information. I could do it again on Tuesday on a Zoom and on Joe's show. Do you want
That'd
me to
great.
Hit it?
That would be fine. You could go ahead.
All right. If I can muster the strength, because I exhausted a lot of energy earlier with Joe. All right, so here's the thing. Just to throw it out there, I mean, who's talking right now? I'm a guy who genuinely surrendered my life unto the Creator Lord God Almighty many years ago. Not a religious guy, not a church going guy, but here I am, God, here I am, Creator, whoever you are, whatever you are, if you are, here I am, take me, I'm yours, do it with me what you will. And, you know, the rest of my life was about overcoming, because when I did that, I had my issues. All of us go through this life struggling with smoking, drinking, porn, you know, all the bad things that are in this world that trap everybody. So I overcame all those things. I am an overcomer, and I praise our Heavenly Father for that. I'm an overcomer. I've overcome. And I do trust in the God of life. That's where I put my trust. So at the same time, I'm a human being like everybody else, and I have to deal with my family and friends and loss of friends and gain of friends and ups and downs and financial, you know, issues and, you know, different things. But I'm a hyper rational person. I believe the Creator God Almighty has blessed me with a gift of discernment. Like, nothing will get by me if it's a lie or if it's a deception or if it's misinformation. I hate deceptions and misinformation and lies. I'm all about truth. I'm an ultimate truth warrior. I love truth. And I love God, and I love righteousness. So when the pandemic started, I was just a guy playing guitar out around town and singing and, you know, driving a little Uber, and once everything hit, to make a long story short, I started getting into everything. What's it all about? What are viruses? Do they really exist? What's the truth behind it? What's the science behind it? What are vaccines? What's in vaccines? What about face masks? What about our rights? What about the Bill of Rights? What about my God-given inalienable rights? You know, I just got into everything and addressed everything at thebigvirushoax.com. It's a 50-page website that has really all the answers to everything on it. In my journey, I came across kind of at the same time that I was, you know, saying, okay, well, now that we know all this stuff, what are we going to do about it? And I was always saying, man, we need a righteous army, man. I mean, there's so much evil in this world. And so, you know, there's a saying, it's a pet peeve saying of mine, evil will prevail when good men and women do nothing. And I'm very concerned about mainstream 501c3 Christianity in the churches, that they've been infiltrated, hijacked, and taken over by the same, you know, corrupt powers that be in this world that are pursuing their New World Order, One World Government agenda. They've infiltrated the churches as well. They control the churches. So there are a lot of religious teachings or biblical-based teachings that are completely invalid that I see, you know, religious-minded people preaching on all the time. I won't get into the examples of that, but there's a lot of examples of people having understandings of the Bible that are completely false and totally contrary to the true nature and character of God Almighty. So as I'm, you know, going through this process with trying to create websites for the benefit of humanity, and I'm doing all these videos expressing my views and sharing all the information that I'm gathering on the websites and realizing that, man, we're in trouble. This world's a mess. One of the themes that was very significant to me was this kind of underlying psychology that exists within Christianity that hinges on three biblical concepts. You know, this is the devil's world. You know, this is Satan's world, and you know, Jesus is coming back. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on Jesus. And lay not your treasures on this earth, but in heaven. In other words, have no interest or motivations here because we're storing it all up for the heavenly realm. So what possible incentive or motivation could anybody have to try to make this world a better place if they believe this is Satan's world and they're waiting for Jesus to come back and they're not going to lay their treasures upon this earth, but in heaven? All right? None. They've got no motivation to try to make the world a better place or to overcome evil. No, it's sit in the church pew and hope Jesus is going to come in their lifetime, which people have been doing for decades, if not centuries, right? So right. I'm of the position that, well, wait a minute, call it plan B, but what if God is up there twiddling his thumbs saying, what are you doing about it? You know, you're complaining. What are you doing to make the world a better place? I believe that ultimately one of the big types in Christianity is, oh, I'm a filthy rag. We're all filthy rags. We're just sinners. We're no good. And only Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, he's perfect. And, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We must look to him. He's the answer. It's misinterpreted. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Be like me. He said, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. He said, he who overcometh, the same shall be saved. He didn't say, you know, writhe like a hog in the mud and just know you're a wretched sinner and go through life. No. Repenting and being born again is a change of attitude. It's a change of heart. It's surrendering your life unto God and saying, God, I don't know who you are, what you are, but here I am. Take me. I'm yours. Cleanse me. And praying to God and asking for guidance and deliverance and victory over the wiles of this world. And the people that do that end up being in the truther category, the truther camp. They seek truth. They want to know what's true, what's right, regarding all things, spiritual, social, political, the world that we live in, what's going on. And lo and behold, we find out that in point of fact, the more we go down those rabbit holes of, you know, the Zionist Jews and the Khazarian Jews and the true history and the Victor Great's history and, you know, what true history is and what's a lie and what's true and the Roman Catholic Vatican papal institution and, you know, everything that's going on in the world, we start finding out, wow, there's some serious stuff going on here that ultimately, when you get it all digested, comes down to one simple thing. There's a group of people in this world. I don't care if they're fallen angels. I don't care if they're the descendants of the kings and queens of old. I don't care if they're, you know, just the current modern-day wealthy trillionaires in the world that own all the corporations. I don't care what label you want to put on them, but there's a group in this world that have a new world order, one world government agenda whereby they are endeavoring through the military-industrial war complex with their money, with their corporations, to have total control over all human beings and to have that control through technologies, through the phones, through the cryptocurrency, so that they can implement total control over all people. Now, there's a lot of sheeple. They've used the media to stupefy people, to dumb people down, to make people ignorant and stupid and self-destructive with all their habits, vaping, smoking, covering their body in graffiti and tattoos and ink, which is not only defacing and defiling their God-given natural body, but the ink seeps into the subcutaneous tissues and gets into their bloodstream. They've found dead white blood cells with ink in them and in the glands. All these self-destructive habits, glorifying every new brand of alcohol and vape sticks and flavors and trying to get kids involved with it. They're trying to destroy humanity, merging the whole thing of godless, you know, no more male, no more female, transsexualism, transgenderism, the race issue. Let's divide people on race when God created all of the unique, beautiful, different races. Let's make people think it's only about skin color. Oh, it ain't about skin color, you racist. No, race has a lot more to do than just skin color. It's based on nations, what used to be, what God created, beautiful peoples in different lands. They're about taking over all of that and destroying it all. Destroy the nations, destroy humanity, destroy the earth. That's what they're about.
Yeah.
Am I still on him?
Yep. And I've got 503 in there that just put up their hand, and I let them in too. So
that's fine. So I'll continue. Anybody want to add?
503 is me, Lorianne.
Okay. That's who I thought it was.
Hello.
Hi, Lorianne. So anyway, that's just kind of giving a background on where I'm coming from and the fact that, you know, when I said we need a righteous army, it's because as far as I'm concerned, let's look at Q for a minute, okay? Donald J. Trump. I was never going to vote again after Obama. I was so disgusted with the corrupt politics, the Bushes, the Clintons, Obama. I literally had made up my mind I'm never going to vote again. It's all corrupt. So when Donald Trump indicated he was going to run, I'm thinking to myself, hey, this guy's kind of funny. He's kind of cool. He's kind of a TV character. He's a billionaire. So number one, I know that all the politicians that are in there get bought off and paid off and corrupted. So here's a man that at least they can't buy him off because he's already a billionaire. So he can't be corrupted by the money. They're not going to buy him off. So, man, maybe this guy's something different, an independent, not no Republican, no Democrat. So I threw my hat in the ring for Trump, man, and I started supporting him left and right, man. I was changing people's minds. I wrote an original song called Trump Train that was a kick-ass progressive rock tune. Got over 40,000 views on YouTube before they took my channel down. People were telling me, oh, you should be playing that at his rallies. I was all about Trump, and I was all for his all-American, pro-American, secure our borders, national sovereignty, you know, veterans, police officers, you know, decency, Christianity, bringing God back into the country. He had the perfect American, conservative, Christian, you know, center to right message. So, of course, I was on board with that, as the vast majority of Americans were. So 3 years in, what did we see? We saw the Russia collusion bullshit. We saw the impeachment bullshit, which was obviously all bullshit from the leftist, extremist, communist, leftist liberals who hated the man and didn't want him in there because of what he stood for, what he was promoting. So I was all about him. Well, what else was going on at that time? You know, started in the Obama administration was the Q movement, right? JFK is alive. Listen, this is his voice. Hey, Q, man, we got the white hat insiders, man, and they're going to take care of things. And then what do? I discover something called Operation Trust, where the Jewish Bolshevik Revolution did the same thing when they took over Russia, and all the patriots in Russia were against the communist takeover, and they came out with, don't worry, we got the white hatters in here, man, and they're going to take care of these communists. Trust us, we got this. And it was all a psyop. It was all bullshit. And the more I heard things like, oh, man, don't worry, Q's been at this for 30 years. Man, there's all these people, and they're pedophiles, and there's tunnels with our children, and they've been working on it for 30 years. Q Kiss my ass, 30 years. If I knew that shit was going on 30 years ago, I'd have rounded up the Navy SEALs and the Green Beret and took them all out. You don't let 30 years go by when you know children are being trafficked through tunnels and everything. What a crock of bullshit, to be frank with you. So there was so much about the Q PSYOP, and they always had the thing where something's going to happen, but it didn't, and then they had an excuse for why it didn't happen. Something's going to happen, it didn't. They got an excuse for why it didn't. This is going to take place, it doesn't. They got an excuse for why it doesn't. It's their way of kicking their can of corruption down their own paved road. It's a PSYOP to pacify and entertain the patriots, entertain them, pacify them, keep them at bay, make them think somebody in the inside is going to take care of it. That's what was going on as far as I'm concerned. So when Donald Trump started pushing the vax and he appointed Zionist Jews to head the Fed and he filled his cabinet with Zionist Jews and he did a $6 trillion bill, first one in history, where the vast majority of that money went to the vaccine pharmaceutical company executives, and I knew everything I knew about the dangers and poisons of vaccines and bioweapons. I was like, holy shit, this guy's all part of it. In fact, here's a good explanation. Every president that's ever run does a campaign. No president has ever continued campaigning throughout their administration. So what does that tell me? That tells me that the Vatican commissioned him, get out there, Trump, and keep rallying, baby. Keep rallying. We need to see who our enemy is. Who is the enemy of the New World Order? It's Christians, patriots, truthers, Second Amendment, traditional family values, hardworking Americans. That's the enemy of the New World Order, One World Government agenda. We need to identify them, Trump. Get out there. We need to see their strengths, their weaknesses, their numbers, where they're at. Go do rallies around the country. We need to see where they're strong. We need to see where they're most concentrated. Get them out there. Rally the patriots. Here, take this pro-American message, Trump. That'll raise them up. So he was commissioned to get the patriots rallied so they could be identified, seen for their size, their numbers, their strengths, their weaknesses, where they're at, and to subsequently be labeled as domestic extremists, seditionists, terrorists, white supremacists, bigots, the whole nine yards, which is what happened. So to me, there's nothing but one group in this world that has a new world order, one world government agenda. Trump and Biden are good cop, bad cop, two wings on the same dirty bird working for that new world government agenda. Well, I know that, but what do I got going against that? A bunch of Trump worshipers and Q-tards, right, that are all about, oh, no, Trump, he's good. Oh, the Q movement, it's all about PSYOP. See, we got it. Trump had to do it this way. Trump is the master of plausible deniability. He gives himself an out. Whether the right wins or the left wins, he wins. He's perfect at that. He knows what he's doing. The bottom line is, I found out about this guy, David Lester Strait, a year and a half ago. Am I still online? Because my phone keeps...
Yeah, yep. You're there. Still there.
All right. So I found out about this guy, David Lester Strait. I had heard about Anna Von Reitz. You heard about the birth certificate stuff. I heard about cattle and, you know, we're just their slaves and all this stuff. So I started looking into that, and I was impressed with David Lester Strait when I first started watching him. I'm like, man, that's my spiritual brother. This is a godly man, and everything he's saying makes sense. I watched his videos, and by the time I got to the third or fourth video, I was like, holy crap, is this guy a con man or something? And I made a video, a bigvirushoax.com Zoom meeting I did where I addressed it. I said, man, I found out about this guy, David Strait. He's saying some amazing stuff here, man, about our God-given unalienable rights and the Bill of Rights and U.S. codes and how the government is a corporation and they don't have no jurisdiction over us. And, man, it's pretty mind-blowing. I said, if this guy is a con, man, I'm going to blow his lid, man. I'm going to uncover this guy because that's going to piss me off if this guy's out there deceiving people with this shit. So I did that video, and I sent him the video because I saw his email address on one of his videos, and he contacted me, and I talked to him, and I told him my concerns about Trump, and he started saying, yeah, but he was also a Q guy. He was promoting Q. He was promoting Trump, and then he didn't have answers for me, and I said, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, because I started feeling bad. I said, I hope, you know, that I haven't, you know, if you are just a con man out there that's just trying to make a living doing this, I mean, I'm sorry if I'm blowing it for you. And he said, you already did, you know, and I said, man, you know, because he knew I had done some serious stuff that could have damaged his movement, because I said, if this guy's a con man, I'm going to blow him open. But I continued talking with him. We talked again and again and again and again. We talked for over a year. I got to know this guy better and better. We've had multiple conversations and text messages, and he was telling me stuff that was mind-blowing. And a lot of it was Q, and I totally laid out for him my belief that there's only a one world order, one world government agenda. Trump's part of it. I'm telling you, you're being suckered. Assuming you're not part of it, you're just being fooled by it, David. So he and I really kind of developed a good rapport and a relationship, and I was stuck because everything he's saying about the U.S. codes and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the corporations, the governments being corporations, and Supreme Court ruling that corporations have no jurisdiction over a living man and woman of the soil, it's all true. It can all be validated. So I'm like, well, maybe everything he's saying there is true, and he's making all this other stuff up to try to bolster his little, his little show, to get more followings. I don't know. But I kept on it. I'd always ask him questions about things, and he always seems to have an answer that's a damn good one. So finally, now we're getting to the meat and potatoes here, okay? This past weekend, finally went to a David Strait seminar. And I got to say that here's how I'll say it. When I went to the David, actually being there with him, feeling his energy, seeing his face, talking to him, seeing other people talk and ask questions.
I was cool to him.
It was a very unique experience. My son and my father went with me. And what happened for me over that weekend, this past weekend, is he got me either at least he threw a line of hope to me where at least I could say, well, I hope you're right, David. I mean, I hope what you're saying is true, but there still seems to me to be, I favor that no, it's all one and the same. But here's their narrative. Okay, here's the narrative, and it's consistent with all the Q stuff, that they're deliberately doing PSYOPs. Both sides are, because here's what they say. They say, yes, Mike, you're right. There is a cabal. There is a communist, godless group of people that want to depopulate the earth, that are doing all the bad things with the chemtrails and the food and the vaccines. But there are people on the inside that are righteous. In fact, there's eight families that are all descendants of King Solomon, and they have all the gold that King Solomon ever mined. And if you've heard about the King Solomon's mines, he mined the world. He mined Africa, Europe, the United States. He mined all around the world. And we know from the biblical accounts, he was the wealthiest man in the world. He amassed all the gold of the world. And he does have heirs. He does have family members, and they do trickle down into our day. So what they're saying, their narrative is that there is a cabal. They are corrupt, and they are trying to – they have infiltrated the U.S. government. They have hijacked the republic. They have used the United States military to break down other nations. They are trying to put together a new world order, one world government agenda. But there's a group in there called, as Q says, the White Hats. They're good guys. They're on the inside that are fighting against it, and they created a contract where they talked with all the families, and all the families, eight of them that are heirs of Solomon, who have trillions of dollars combined in gold and silver, said, yes, we will merge together to do something to try to make this world a better place and to fight back against this cabal, this New World Order government agenda. We will work with you. We will work together. We'll fight back against it. Now, that could be a PSYOP. That could be, again, just – there's only one, and they have a dark agenda and a light agenda, and they're just using this narrative to further suck people in. That could be the case. But here's some of the things that are interesting about it to me. And this is stuff people should research to see if it's valid. But I've always known of Nikola Tesla, and I love Nikola Tesla. I think he's one of the brilliant geniuses and godly people of the last couple of century ago. And as we know, He was at a battle with Edison. They didn't want his free energy and his free devices. They wanted to put Edison's devices and put meters on it, as Rockefeller or whoever it was said, if we can't put a meter on it, we don't want it. So we're going to have to, go with this guy's program. And they basically dissed this righteous man, Nikola Tesla. Well, the narrative they're given, and people can research it and validate it, I suppose, is that John Trump, the father of Donald J. Trump, was a personal friend of Nikola Tesla. They lived together. Tesla lived in John Trump's home. John Trump was an engineer. They lived together. They knew each other. They were friends. And when Nikola Tesla died, all of his patents, free energy and medical healing devices based on frequencies and energy were given to John Trump, which, of course, was passed down to his son, Donald J. Trump. Donald J. Trump released it with a group of doctors who all agreed that they were going to put all of his technologies together and create these med beds so that it was going to be for humanitarian purposes. It would be free, and it would be to help make the world a better place and to heal people. Now, let me just back up on the med beds. A year and a half ago was the first time I ever heard about med beds when I was watching a YouTube video, and I saw this video with this kind of like a, you know, Arcturian, you know, we've come here with technologies for the benefit of humanity. And I'm listening to this YouTube video, and it's talking about the med bed. Put your email in, we will contact you. Let me first preface this. I knew that they're killing us with chemtrails. They're killing us with water. They're killing us with vaccines. They're killing us with the food. They've got a depopulation agenda. So they're killing people. So when I saw this med bed thing, let me tell you what was going through my head. I was started remembering, you know, the videos with Alex Jones over there looking at all the FEMA coffins stacked up in Georgia. So all of a sudden, being a guy who's been to Disney World a few times, where when you go into their rides, the truck comes around and you get in and you go around through the thing and come back and get out and somebody else gets in. So all of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, well, let's see. They've got a depopulation agenda. They're killing us through chemtrails and water and food and air and everything else. Medbed, huh? Give them your email, huh? They're going to contact probably all the right people that don't have many family ties. Tell them to go someplace where they're going to get in this contraption that's an airtight, vacuum-sealed plastic container and say it's a medbed, thinking it's going to heal them of all their ailments. They're going to lay down in there. They're going to suck the air out and or gas them. It's going to go around a conveyor to the back of the place, dump them into a FEMA coffin, and come around and pick up the next fool. That's what was going through my mind on medbeds. So when I was at the meeting, they were there. One of the things that instantly concerned me when I walked into the meeting, David Strait invited me to play music at his seminar. He said, yeah, bring your guitar, man, and do some music in the background, you know, when I'm not, you know, in the hour before I come on and start the seminar. So I brought my stuff and, you know, decided to play some music. When I first walked in, I was kind of shocked because I saw all these different, vendors, you know, selling T-shirts, selling gold, selling memberships, selling this. And, you know, a lot of people are turned off, like David's just doing all this for money and stuff. But that's not necessarily true, because there's people that do want shirts that say national, you know, state national. And, you know, there's people that do, you know, want to invest in silver and gold instead of money. And there's people that are looking for books that have information. So really, I don't have a problem with the vendorship. But Dave came up to me, gave me a big hug and a smile. And again, through the whole weekend, we had a great connection. And he said, there are people here that have med beds. And they said you can sample it at the end of the day. You can go in and lay on the med bed. And they said it like it's totally free, which was inspiring. People wanted to do it. So I got up and put my name on the list and said, oh, it's going to be $110. And that was a big turnoff for me. I said, wait a minute, I don't have that money. But then they said, well, if you don't have the money, no problem. So they were willing to do it for free, but they were trying to make some money. And I'll come back on that point in a minute because, you know, it can be justified. But this is going to go to an interesting point here. They were doing the medbed thing. Donald Trump was talking about some amazing things during his seminar. I did bring up the questions. He had me come to the floor. He had me speak and communicate because he knows who I am and what I'm about. And he gave me the floor, and I said my piece. And I gave him some challenging questions even during the seminar. And many people applauded. They loved my questions. They came up to me, man, that was great. We need to ask more questions like that. But I basically gave David a pass, which I do. I believe he's a righteous man. I believe he's a sincere man. The only problem we have is like today when I was talking to him for an hour on the phone, I told him because he told me that he's gotten many emails from Donald J. Trump this week. And I said, David, you realize when you say stuff like that, I'm believing you. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. But do you realize when you're talking about how you talk to Donald Trump all the time that it makes people kind of doubt you? It makes them question you. It makes them say, really? Prove it. Let me see that you have that connection to Trump. I said, why don't you, David, during one of your seminars, get on your phone, call Donald J. Trump, and put him on speaker? That'll actually bolster your cause. And he said, no, Donald told me to never do that. And he said, it's like when you got me on the phone with Eric Dinges. It really pissed me off because you took me by surprise, and I didn't like that, and I was never going to talk to you again. I said, but don't do it by surprise like I did, David. I said, call Don ahead of time and say, hey, Don, how about if we do that where during one of my seminars, when I'm giving my seminar, I give you a call, Don, and I put you on speaker. I said, if you did that, David, that would bolster Trump, and it would bolster your movement, and it would even win people that jumped off the Trump train back into, because they know what you're doing is right, so they know it's all legit. You're working with Trump, and there's a good thing going on. Do it. It would only help the cause. And he was kind of, you know, in checkmate with that. So I said, I'll tell you what. You say you got Trump's phone number. He says, yeah, I got it right here on my phone. And you can call him anytime you want. And he said, that's right. I said, why don't I send you my song, Trump Train, the original song I wrote, and you forward it to Don. He says, okay, I'll do that. I said, and why don't you call Don and say, hey, Don, I got this guy. He's not like anybody else, man. This guy's really questioning everything. He was your greatest supporter, and he's really on the righteous team. Can you do me a favor, Don, and just let's give him a call together so he can talk to you and he can hear your voice? So why don't you do that? What's wrong with that, Dave? And he couldn't. He just was quiet. It put him in checkmate. Because why would he not? Why should he not do that? He should. So that would give credence, right? It gives more momentum to this effort. Otherwise, it's all bullshit. It's all a psyop. So now go back to the med beds. When I was there, this German guy came up to me. Found out later he was 82 years old. He looked about 60. He was bald. He had gray, piercing eyes and this jubilant personality. And he came up and he said, I want to shake your hand. That was a great speech you gave. That was so awesome. And I'd like to invite you and your dad to come to a med bed. So I said, yeah, that would be great because my dad was with me and he can hardly walk. He's got pain in his knees. He's going through problems. So I said, yeah, that would be super. So they were in Ocala. So not knowing who they are, when I looked on the Google, they're like in the middle of Timbuktu nowhere land, right? And here I am thinking they're inviting us out to the boondocks. So I said, I don't know who they are. So I sent a couple messages to family and friends saying, hey, if I don't call you at 11, send the cavalry. This is the address I'm going to, you know. But we got there, and it was this beautiful ranch in Ocala, beautiful farm. He was waiting for us in his BMW. He drove us through the gate over to this ranch. I go inside, and this woman, Annette, was in there who was at the meeting also. And she brought us into this room, and there were three med beds. One was a titanium plate, and when I sat on it, it was warm, and it had nodes under it vibrating and this bell sounds. And I was sitting on it talking to her. And then there was another, like, walk-in room that looked kind of like a sauna that my dad went in. And then there was another, it looked like in a woman's salon, it like a chair you sit down with the thing that goes over their head, that you pull down a ball that pulls over the head. So I said, we're talking about different things. First thing she told me when we went in there, she says, we're white hats. So when she said that, I was like, okay, let me tell you where I stand with that. So I gave her my whole history on my opinion of the Q psyop and the white hats. It's all bogus. It's not true. It's all part of the New World Order. And then she proceeded to go on the same things that that David Strait was talking about. Yes, you're right. There is a cabal. There is a bad movement. But there is a good, righteous group of people. They are the heirs of the heirs of Solomon's minds. They want to do humanitarian causes. And they want to fight against the cabal. And they want to do these med beds for free for everybody. She said, in fact, what they were doing at David Strait's seminar was wrong. They were charging people to get on the med bed. That's totally wrong. They should never be doing that. This is supposed to be free for everybody, just like it was for us right there in their house. They put my dad in the room. They let me go on the bed. And I'll tell you what, when I was sitting on the edge of that bed, first of all, these people were very positive, wonderful, loving people. And the energy in the room was just amazing and positive. I could just feel the serenity. And I have neck and back problems from injuries years ago. So I'm very, very cautious about turning my head. I never turn my head more than 10 degrees to the right because it'll start to get tight and hurt. Like if I'm in a car, I don't even look in my rearview mirror. I turn my whole body to look very tight. I was sitting there on that med bed, and without me even realizing it, it dawned on me. Good night. It dawned on me that I'm sitting there. She's an Indian style sitting next to me on the thing. And all of a sudden I noticed that my chin was resting on my shoulder. 90 degrees. I'm looking over at her, just talking to her casual. And I realized it. And I'm like, I started laughing. I said, wow, this is weird. I just noticed I'm looking at you with my neck 90 degrees to the right, and I've got no tightness, no pain, nothing. And my son kind of laughed. I said, my son will tell you I never turn my head more than 10 degrees. And he said, that's right. Now, I'm a skeptic, so that could be coincidental. Could just be because I was relaxed because of the environment. But she said that she was in a wheelchair for 8 years, and she had crushed vertebrae, 8 of them. She said after she went through the full process with the med beds, not only is she walking around totally normal now, she's not in a wheelchair, but she got CAT scans again that showed her spine perfect with no problems in her disc, and the doctors couldn't figure it out. Manfred, the German man that was there, said he has a bad eye, but his other eye was bad. He had to wear glasses, and he said he's been wearing glasses for years, and now he has 20/20 vision in his eye. They gave stories of other people who have used the med bed that were healed from things. So if nothing else, I said, it's a very good thing. It's a blessing that my dad is very ill right now. He's got joint problems in his knee, his hands, his arms. He's in pain. And they opened the door completely. I'll read the text messages I had with her today. They said they'll let my dad come back every day for free for a week and get on the med beds. So now I've got an opportunity to prove that those med beds are legit with my own father or they're bullshit. So it's easy to hear other people tell a story. She could make up a story that she was in a wheelchair for 8 years, right? But I'm not saying that's the case. I got to give her the benefit of the doubt. She said she was in a wheelchair for 8 years, and now she's perfectly fine. And she said she's with the White Hats. She said she had to sign a non-disclosure agreement, and she said all their money comes from Jasara Nasara. And Manfred, the German man, stood up to my son with his phone, and he showed him an app, and he was showing my son an account with $34 million in it. I looked at it. And they said that they both have their funding, and they said they're going to be putting med beds in different facilities, one down south, one up north. They're going to be putting them in different places. I said, who's going to be funding it? She said, Jasara Nasara. We have trillions of dollars. The heirs of Solomon have all the money, and this is a humanitarian effort. So she proceeded to go on explaining that what they're doing is they're going to have ultimately, and let me tie this in with David Strait. Because on the one hand, she said David Strait was wrong for having people pay for med beds. But when I talked to David today and told him that, he got kind of pissed off. And he said, look, we don't have Jasara Nasara money. And these people aren't in their Custis QV accounts right now. And they're driving all around the country with me. And he quoted the Bible, a man is worthy of his hire. So on the one hand, I agree. There's nothing wrong with these people going around with a med bed and at least taking donations or asking for a charge so they can get money for hotels and gas to do it. So I really don't have a problem with it, although it's supposed to be for free. And ultimately, it will be, because what they're claiming is they're going to have these med beds in every single home. That's what they're claiming. Now, again, this woman who signed an NDSA, an NDA, said that she's actually going to Utah in a month. She was one of the first people they chose to be part of their team. They were essentially guinea pigs. She was in a wheelchair. We're going to put you in this med bed. You're going to see it's going to heal you. When it does, we're going to teach you how to use it so you can help others. And now she said they're coming out with a new med bed that's even more, has more technologies in it, that's even more healing. They claim that they're going to be doing med beds that replace limbs, that based on vibrational frequencies and energy, because we are energy. We are energy. We're made of energy. She said that the vibrational frequencies will cause the cells to replicate and actually grow new limbs. This is what they're claiming. Sounds sci-fi, sounds way out there, but this is what they're claiming. So you can see how there's kind of two paths. On the one hand, we could take this as maybe these people aren't part of the PSYOP, but they got sucked into it. It's ultimately just one group because they admitted what's going to happen is people are going to go to a essentially a FEMA camp. They're going to go to a reconstitution hall where they're going to turn in their cell phones, they're going to turn in their computers, and they're going to be issued a brand new laptop and cell phone and iPad that's all their own, that's going to have their own code and their own balance of money in it. Then they're going to go to another table where they're going to be asked, what is it you want to do in life? What is it that you want to do where you could be working, but to you it's not work, it's play? What do you enjoy doing? What do you want to do that you'll be happy with? You don't have to work, but you need to contribute to society. So what is it you would want to do? What will you do that will make you happy? And then we'll put you in that area of work on this earth, whether it's tilling the ground. She said they're going to get rid of all corporations. There will be no corporations. They're going to gather up all the corporations and own all the products so that people cannot jack up prices and make people have to pay exorbitant prices for products and services anymore, because they don't want people to suffer financially. They don't want people to suffer physically. This is what they're claiming, that they are a good group, that there is an evil agenda, there is a cabal, there are godless communists that are trying to do all the stuff I've been saying and we've all been saying, but they're the good guys. And yes, they're part of the Q and they're part of the White Hats and they're the insiders and David works for them and they work for them, but they all have conflicts of interest too, because they don't all have all the answers, right? They're all, nobody can have all of the answers, because if I was the guy with all the answers, they'd come kill me so that I didn't tell everybody. So David knows some things. And she even said David's part is about waking people up and letting them know the truth about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and U.S. codes and how the governments became corporations and how we have God-given unalienable rights and how the corporations don't have jurisdiction over us and how there is money out there that people have access to. That's his job. That's what he's to do. He's to wake people up to that. Our job is to get these med beds out to the world to heal people. That's why we don't charge, because it's not supposed to be for a fee. It's supposed to be free for everybody. So there, it's a lot of stuff. And for me, being the guy that's the ultimate cynic, the ultimate skeptic, the ultimate guy that's not going to let a damn thing get by me, who's on guard for things, when they say you have to sign a contract in order to be on the side of the righteous, there's a justification for that. Because they said there are people that are not going to even accept it. There are people that are not going to accept their money. There are people that are not going to want to be a part of that system. So they will continue to be 14th Amendment slaves subject to the corporate system, to that. That they will not have access to their fund. If somebody murders somebody, their funds will be taken away from them indefinitely. If somebody rapes somebody, their Jasar and Nasara funds will be stripped away from them forever. They'll never be able to get it back. If somebody's a thief and they steal from somebody else, their funds will be taken away and they'll never, ever get it back. It's for righteous people. It's for people that are not self-destructive. They don't mar up and ink up their body with unsightly tattoos and ink and graffiti and earrings and piercings and paint their hair and vape on vape sticks and smoke and consume alcohol and take drugs and curse and swear and lie. They're not those kind of people. It's for people that are godly, that are righteous, that are pure of heart, that want to contribute to society. They're going to give them the bed beds. They're going to give them their funds from the trillions of dollars in the Jasar and Nasara for that people, for that group, for that class of people. And it's all going to be fair. Everything will be – they'll all be contributing to society, doing whatever their deed is. Like for me, they said maybe you'll be a music teacher. You'll be a musician. You'll be performing for people. I said I'd love to grow an almond grove and a raw cacao and market raw cacao and almonds, for people's health. They said, that's great. We'll set you up with that. Whatever it is a person wants to do, if you want to be a cattle rancher, they'll set you up with that. Whatever it is you want to do that makes you happy. But that, it's as if there's a reset and a reset. the bad negative cabal reset to kill people, and they want to control everything. And the other reset, no, let's heal people. Let's heal the land. Let's get rid of the corporations. Let's go back to nature. Let's get rid of the my nigga music. I'm a nigga motherfucker. I fuck white ass. I kill them cops, and I smoke that grass. Bullshit that has been putrefying the minds of our children and youth for the last 30 years. Right? Let's get make music music and not filth and vile perversion and immorality and godlessness. That's what they're claiming. They want to go back to goodness, to the land, to nature, no corporations, mom and pop run businesses, money for everybody, happiness for everybody, peace. That's their message. I hope it's true. I hope it's true. I could still be the skeptic and say, no, that's just the dark agenda, light agenda that one same group of people is using to sucker people in so they can get them to go sign the contract, get their little iPad, and be subject to their controls. But again, if it's a righteous person, who cares? Let them have control because I'm not going to do anything bad, and they're going to give me money, and I'm going to be a contributing person to society. So what do I care? I mean, if we have a Christian monarchy and it's all about God's laws and God's way and righteousness and living right and healing earth and nature, great, right? So in a way, they've kind of won me back over to some extent of saying, even if there's a new world order, one world government agenda, if it's a righteous one, so be it, because that's what I'd do. If I was the king of this world, I'd have a new world order, one world government agenda that would be righteous. I'd just be the king of the world, and I'd make sure there was righteous people in every county and every city and every state making sure things were run properly and there would be no corporations. So, I mean, that's what I'd do. So if there's somebody out there doing that, more power to them. I guess I'm on their team, right? I rest my case at this point for now.
Okay, we've
the only one that should be in charge of this one world government should be God.
Yep.
No man.
Well, God works through his people. I mean, you know, God works through us, through people. Now, and that brings up a whole discussion on God. You know, there's people that have the idea of God being a bearded white man on a throne with a scepter in his hand. I personally view God as much more than that. There's people from the spiritual point of view that say Christians got it all wrong. Christ was God in the same way that you are God and I'm God and that we're all God. Jesus said, know ye not that you are gods. Jesus was a spiritual teacher. So there's people that believe that. There's dogmatic Christian views. It's the blood of Jesus. And if you don't believe this, you're going to burn in hell forever and ever. Right. And for good reason, a lot of people are opposed to that philosophy and idea. And people are literally brainwashed with those belief systems. You can't break them from it. They got to do it on their own. You know, there's a lot of dogmas and belief systems that are not necessarily true and accurate, but ultimately we are in the time of the testing. We're in the time of the sifting. We're in the time where the Creator God Almighty is separating the good fruit from the bad fruit, the weeds from the tares. And that's consistent. I've always said, if there's a Jesus Christ coming back in the clouds of glory with angels, more power. I'm all for it. In my opinion, he's late because this world is that sick. It's perverted. It's sick. It's grotesque. Everything about it, it's all wrong. So there's nothing disrespectful to God for me to say that. There's nothing sacrilegious. I'll say it boldly. If there's a Jesus Christ who's coming back in the clouds of glory with angels in the clouds, and he's coming to destroy the wicked and take the righteous out of here, more power to him. I'm all for it, even if it means destroying me come today, because this world is that sick. See, most people don't even realize how sick this world is because they're caught up in it. So, you know, a lot of it comes down to people's understanding of what God is and what God means. And, you know, it makes sense. I mean, Melchizedek, you know, there's an argument can be made that in the Bible, Melchizedek was the God of the Bible, not the Father, not the Creator, Lord God Almighty, not because Melchizedek, Hebrew says he has no beginning and no end, Melchizedek. And Melchizedek walked with Abraham. You know, he was the God of the Bible, Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was a priest. He was a part of the hierarchy of the godship, of the fact that there's a creator God. But if there's a creator God and he's creating different worlds with different beings, there's going to be a hierarchy. There's going to be different, you know, just we could even use the Father, Son, Holy Spirit as an example of that, assuming that was literal and actual. There's the Father, creator God Almighty, but there's the Son, Yeshua, and hey, there's the Holy Spirit. Hey, can the Holy Spirit manifest in the flesh form? You know, what about Melchizedek? Hebrews says he has no beginning and no end. Genesis says the same. You know, and they have a statue of Melchizedek. I mean, back in the days of old, the midwayers, man, they carved these people. No human hand can make the statues that are at the Vatican of these people of old. They've got them carved out. There's probably carved statues of Adam and Moses that we've never seen that are in the dungeons under the Vatican because they carved these people. Just like we take photographs today, back then they carved them in marble and to the T. Perfect. So when you see, you know, Google Melchizedek and look at that statue. I mean, it's an amazing statue. You could see nothing but kindness and love and compassion in that statue's face, and at the same time you can see power and strength and vengeance and wrath in it. It's an amazing statue and a glorious looking being.
I got a question for you. So I've seen these like pictures of like stone, like it's almost as it. Think of Medusa, okay, and the story of Medusa with the snakes and how she, just looking at her, she could turn people to stone. And I've seen some pictures, like, from around the world where it actually looks like somebody was turned to stone.
Right.
And I'd just like to get your take on that because, like, Medusa with the snake in her hair and all of
right.
that.
Yeah, there's two possibilities. I mean, we know the story of Lot, right? I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah were like, you know, an ancient example of today's world, you know? I mean, it was so, the city was so perverted with bestiality and homosexuality and everything else, you know, God said he's going to destroy it. And we know Lot talked them from 50 down to 10. If I can find 10 righteous, will you spare the city? And it was so perverted. And there's lessons, obviously, in the Bible. So, you know, the idea of God, of the Creator saying, okay, that's filth. You don't want nothing to do with that. Turn and walk away. Don't even look back on it. In fact, if you look back on it, I'm going to turn you to a pillar of salt, right? So, you know, the Bible story says that's what happened to Lot's wife. So we do know that there's the possibility, maybe you might even be referring to a statue that recently came out. I saw several videos on it that they found in Russia. They uncovered this angel. He's on his knees, and he's taller than the two men that were standing next to it. And he's got this huge sword and these wings. And the detail of it is just perfect, like as if an actual angel was just instantly turned into stone. So, you know, some people will argue, man, that was a fallen angel, and God struck him into stone, and that could be. Or it could be, again, they were, there's a book called the Urantia Book. It's controversial because, especially for diehard Christians that are strictly Bible believing, you know, there's many Christians that understand there were books that were left out of the Bible, you know, that, you know, I could get on a whole diatribe here about the Bible, but the bottom line is there are multiple resources that do fill in a lot of blanks that are not necessarily in the Bible. And the Urantia Book talks about a lot of it. It fills, and it's very consistent with the Bible, but it talks about the midwayers, you know, those that were, and the watchers, right? I mean, because we're being watched, you know, we call them, you know, our angels, you know, we're being watched. All of us are being watched for who and what we are and what we do. So these angelic beings, and when we say angelic, it means they're on another dimension. They're on another spiritual dimension. They vibrate at a different frequency. They're in another righteous realm. And their skills, their talent, are way beyond anything we can comprehend. So they can carve. There are people on this earth that can do that. I mean, if you go to Disney World and go to the big tree and look at the carvings that are on that giant tree at Disney World, where you go see the show about the bugs inside the tree, the carvings are magnificent. I mean, to this day, there are, you know, masons, you know, that have talents and skills with the arts and with woodworking and marble work and stonework that's just phenomenal. Just like some artists, the way they can paint. There are some people that are exceptionally talented. So these midwayers and watchers and angelic beings that are on another frequency altogether, heavenly, they're way beyond even our best. I mean, they can carve a statue out of marble with every fine detail down to the thousandth of an inch, you know, and even, you know, just make it identical. So I would say that most of it is, a lot of it is artwork.
Yeah. But you touched on something. Let me bring it back. So angelic beings, and oh, I lost it. I'm so sorry.
Well, let me say this on angelic beings. If it comes back, just interrupt me. But, you know, one part of the problem we all have, too, is the impressions that have been put in our minds about what religion and spirituality is, an angel. It starts in our childhood with angels are white with wings floating in the clouds with a harp, to Satan has a pitchfork and red horns and a red body and a tail, and there's fire all around them. So those are, you know, our roots at beginning to understand religion and God and Christianity and the whole nine yards, and nothing could be further from the truth. So even as we get away from that and we realize there's no Santa Claus and there's no tooth fairy and there's no, but we still believe in angels and we still believe in a devil. But now, okay, it's not a red pitchfork and suit, and it's not necessarily floating on a cloud with a harp, but they still have wings and they're still angels. And, you know, there's just a lot of disturbance in our mind about what it means to say another vibration or frequency. If you've ever seen it, you can YouTube this. It's all over.
Yes,
I think
it was the vibration and the frequency. That's what it was that triggered it. So
okay.
My understanding is that, like, the demonic beings or the evil, whatever you want to call them, can't live in a higher frequency, and that we need to, I mean, raise our vibrations, you know, and like the
right.
Highest frequency, the best vibration is that of love.
Right. Well, let me address that, because that's, you're bringing up a profound point. There's another PSYOP that is definitely part of the evil cabal, and it's the New Age movement. The New Age movement is where they're also, it's almost like there's a mirror, right? Whatever's good, they mirror it in evil. So let's say there is such a thing as vibrational frequencies and love, and all that's legit, no doubt about it.
Okay, okay, Mama. Good night, Mama. Love you.
And that sounds like Mike. Is that Mike?
Yeah. So,
all right,
so
Mike,
let's,
hold on a sec. Hey, Bob, are you going into overtime?
Kind of looks like it.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so kind of almost lost my train of thought. My wife was saying goodnight, and then you came in, and now it was about frequency, vibrations. Okay, because there was a couple things I was going to say about that. Maybe that will come back to me, because the first thing I was going to say is, just so people know, you can go to YouTube and type in, you know, vibrational frequencies with sand, whatever. And I'm sure y'all have seen it, where they put sand on a you know, metal table, and they put vibrations to it, and all of a sudden it creates patterns, right? And,
yeah.
And the different frequency creates different patterns. So that's actually proof that energy itself, right, can create matter. Right? Because that, for all practical purposes, if you turn sand into an image, you've created matter, right? You've taken something
and
turned it
into
something.
And then, can I step in? So, like, those patterns, those geometric shapes are similar to the stained glass windows in the old churches. And like, the old churches was all about sound and frequency and light and vibration.
Right. And the vibration thing, the other thought came back to me, applies to the makeup of beings. So, yes, when we think of somebody being in another dimension, look, the Bible talks about, you know, the apostles were in the upper room and they locked themselves for fear right after Christ, you know, Yeshua's, you know, alleged or supposed, you know, crucifixion, that they were in the upper room with the doors locked, and Yeshua appeared unto them. So he appeared out of thin air. So you could make the assumption, I guess, that, or the argument or the assertion that just like we can change the radio dial in our car and get a different channel, frequencies can change whereby you could go from invisible to solid because you're on a different frequency. You're basically phasing in and out of a different realm based on the frequency. So, which could be endless because, again, you know, the creator, God Almighty, the ultimate source of all things, is that. It's in charge of all that, is the essence of that. So the created beings, and again, you know, some, especially, let me finish that point about the PSYOP, the spiritualism. There's a new age spiritualism that's all about, and it's all to confuse people, and it's all part of also sucking people into their misleading PSYOPs. Oh, brother love, it's all about love and vibrations, and I'm Sister Shem, and I'm an Arcturian, and I know my spirit comes from the realm of Nebula, and I'm here as an instrument, and I'm channeled through, and ultimately, brothers and sisters, we're all the human family. There is no race, there is no gender, there's homosexuals are just as brotherly, and we are all accepting of one another. It's a way of justifying anything and everything. It's all good. Everything's good. All is one. One is all. That's wrong. That's a godless.
It's a mocking of God.
Exactly. Thank you, sister.
But
so,
at the same time, like that evil, and you said it. I just saw a post today, Madison, Wisconsin. They had a naked bike run through Madison. Okay, Madison's very liberal.
Right.
The reason why it made the headlines was that there was a child, a naked child in that bicycle
right.
ride, the naked bicycle ride. And it's like, what happened to indecent exposure? And
right.
you said it yourself, you know. I mean, it's Babylon. It's sick. And then you talk about the pedophilia. There's been a lot of arrests. It's a fucking sick, sick world.
Yeah. And again,
but
so they claim.
We are cleaning it up. God is cleaning it up, and it is Judgment Day.
Right.
I mean, and put a millstone around their necks, the ones
right.
that harm
right.
the little ones.
Right. Right.
Or the elderly. Those are the other ones that are being
right.
abused.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, yeah, and let me just throw this into the mix, especially for the people out there that just aren't, you know, awake at all, or they're starting to wake up. This is really a tough one to deal with because, again, it's easy for somebody to be in a quote-unquote religious mindset or godly or more righteous than thou or spiritual mindset and, oh, that's all wrong and I'm right and you know, I got to walk the perfection. There is a fine line because there is such a thing as humanity, human behavior, human desires, human interests. It's just a matter of the degree to which we control it in ways that are responsible and reasonable. You know what I mean? Like the nudity example you gave, there are nudist colonies. And in the nudist colonies, there's adults and children because it's like a family. It's like in Europe, a whole family.
That's fine,
right.
But it's not parading around on a bicycle through the
right.
city of Madison and
right.
like, you know.
No,
like,
that's the ultimate point right there. And I always qualify that by saying that ultimately, and that's where it comes to the responsible thing, it's ultimately about private versus public domain. That's where the issues lie, is in the public
mm-hmm.
versus the private domain. Because it is true. There may be people that have a more open minds about something. You know, they think nudity is natural, which it is, and therefore, if the whole family's all out at a lake and they're all nude together, it's all fun and no problem.
And they're going skinny dipping.
Right. Exactly. And it's
they're
true. There is nothing.
Up.
Right. And it's true. There is nothing wrong with that. So what it really comes down to is a public versus private domain in conjunction with the primary issue, the primary problem that we have, and that is the media, all forms of it, Hollywood, television programming, media, news, advertising, commercials, parades in the street, anything and everything that's media-based and that's in the public domain is where they have defunct things. Because, again,
it's also indoctrination in the school system. And I lost my daughter because she went to UW-Madison, and she was indoctrinated. I haven't talked to her since 2020.
Yeah.
So what do we do with our children? It's all about our children, and we've been sending them to government schools, and they've been indoctrinated. And the parents just woke up in the last 3 years.
Right.
And they're seeing these books like Lawnmower Boy and these fucking sick-ass, I mean, you've seen them, right? The books that they're like giving to kindergartners.
I've seen the Great Right to Parenthood.
Propaganda, talk about your propaganda. Like, so, I mean, parents, grandparents are fighting back. They're going to the school boards, you know. But how do we, I mean, there's so many sheeple. I mean, you can identify them by the ones who wore masks.
Exactly.
The ones that took vaccines and the ones that forced their toddlers to go to daycare and wear a mask for 8 hours a day. Oh, my God, are you that fucking stupid?
Yeah, let me address the sheeple in context with the people I was speaking to, because she addressed that, and I want to throw that out there. First of all, hats off and salutes to all those great, mighty, brave, righteous parents and their children that are out there reading those scummy books in front of the commissioners to let them know what's been in the schools.
Hey, Mike, don't stop you.
Am I breaking up?
No, actually,
I don't think.
Yeah, am I breaking up?
No.
I didn't think so.
I'm going to go on.
No.
Yeah, can you hear me?
But it's okay. I can still hear you.
Hey, stop. You got to move around.
Can you guys hear me or no?
Yeah.
I see you. Just fine.
Yeah, I can hear you. I rebooted my phone just before the live show ended because everybody was choppy. I thought it was just me.
Yeah, you guys are breaking up on me now. That always happens. I got lousy service, lousy connection, lousy phone service here in the area where I live. It's bad. I'm surprised I got by as long as I did. Can you guys hear me all right now?
Yeah.
Yep,
can
you sound good now?
You are choppy, but I can understand you, so keep going.
So what are we talking about since I re-entered a few minutes ago? Is it morality, God, solutions, problems, or what?
Well, now that was really bad.
Joe Montana is really choppy now.
Everybody's choppy.
Yeah, everybody's choppy. That's because they hear our conversation now and they're starting to try to interfere.
they're fucking with us. Sorry. Excuse my cousin.
Well, you know,
maybe Blog Talk was part of that, you know, big cyber attack that just happened last week. Maybe Blog Talk was affected. Because this isn't the first time. It was last night, too. That everything was choppy. Joe Montana, you remember that I was complaining about people sounding choppiness. I think even on our show on Thursday.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time, so I don't pay
attention. Yeah, you sound like you're gargling water, Joe.
Well, I can't help that. These are brand new earbuds, and I just plugged and unplugged the earbuds. That usually takes care of the echo.
I really want to hear Joe, and I can't. I really, really want to hear Joe, and I can't hear every other half syllable, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Lori,
yeah,
we
can't call back in now since the live show is over, too. So that kind of sucks.
Well, Lori-Ann, you were talking about how you were talking about how you were praising the parents who are going out and reading these books to these school boards. And the school boards, you know, they'll sit there and say, well, you can't say that kind of stuff. Well, if the parents can't tell the school board this kind of stuff, how can the schools tell this stuff to the kids? You know,
exactly.
And
too vulgar for the parent, you know, the parent school board meeting to read what the kids are actually being read in the classroom. That's too vulgar. Like the irony in it is just, it's
madness.
I always
thought that was rather ironical.
Guys, everybody is so garbled. I just can't make out anything anyone's hearing. I don't know if you can hear me or not either.
I can hear you.
But, I can't hear anybody. I hear people making little, it's really bad. I don't know if it's my phone or if it's the whole system or if you guys are hearing this too or not. But
I put myself on mute, so I don't think it's me. So I'm going to put myself on mute again.
It's weird. I feel like we're being
hijacked. Joe Montana sounds choppy, but you sound perfectly fine to me now after I, you know, rebooted my phone and called back in.
And you sound fine to me, too. Joe sounds pretty choppy.
I sound choppy. Everybody else sounds good. I'm the one that sounds choppy.
To me, yeah.
probably my app again. I'm going to put myself on mute, and then you guys can continue on without the choppiness, hopefully.
I think it's probably Blog Talk Radio doing this.
I wouldn't doubt it. Because it's happened, you know, like I said, this isn't the first time it's happened. And, you know, now on your show versus when, but yet when Joe and I did the show on Tuesday or on Wednesday and Thursday, we had that problem. And so I'm going to be interested to see what happens on Donnie's show tomorrow and then my show on Sunday to see if we still have this choppiness problem. If so, then I'm going to scream at Blog Talk.
But, you know, I was there for the Wednesday night show, and it sounded fine to me. The Thursday night show sounded fine, but I heard it in the archive, so.
Yeah, but if it was that choppy, you should have heard it in the archives, too. It's probably, I bet you it's my app, because every time, it seems as though that when I'm on the show. Let me try. Last time, what I all had to do was disconnect my my earbuds and reconnect them. And how's it now?
It sounded pretty choppy to me.
Okay, I'll put myself on mute again. I'll just put myself on mute.
I know with mine, if I got too many things going on my computer, I get, mine will either get choppy or just shut off completely. Okay, everybody's quiet now. Well, I wonder.
Do we
if
still sound choppy to you though now? Or has
no,
it cleared up?
You sound fine. Yeah,
well,
Lori,
good. I guess
you,
I'm the one that's going to have to do most of the talking.
Yeah, you sound absolutely fine.
Weirdness. Pull up an article that I spotted. Scientists say they have found a chapter of the Bible hidden under a section of text for more than 1,000 years. Scientists say they have found an old version of a Bible chapter that was hidden underneath a section of text for more than 1,500 years. Gregory Kessel, a historian at the Austrian Academy of Sciences, announced the discovery earlier this year in an article in the New Testament Studies, a peer-reviewed academic journal published by Cambridge University Press. Kessel said he used ultraviolet photography to see the earlier text under three layers of words written on a palimpsest, an ancient manuscript that people used to write over the words but often left traces of the original writing behind. Palimpsests were used in ancient times due to the scarcity of parchment. Words would be written on the material repeatedly until several layers covered the hidden words underneath. Kessel said in a news release that the text was an extended unseen version of chapter 12 of Matthew that was originally a part of the old Syriac translations of the Bible some 1,500 years ago. He said he made the discovery in the manuscript held at the Vatican Library. The manuscript offers a huge gateway for researchers to understand the earliest phases of the Bible's textual evolution, according to the news release. For instance, according to the release, the original Greek version of Matthew 12-1, which is the most commonly used today, said, quote, "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat." The newly discovered Syriac translation, however, is slightly different. It said, quote, "Begin to pick the heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat them." That's the end of the article. So that's kind of an interesting find. And it kind of just makes me wonder how much more of that is there. You know, there's the Bible as we know it, but we also know that there's been different versions of it over time. Yeah. And it makes you wonder, you know, how many more, you know, hidden chapters might there be out there? How many more documents and scrolls or whatever were not included in these versions of the Bible? And of course, then the biggest question is, well, what did they say and what does that mean? How would that change the whole scope of Christianity?
There's supposedly something like 30 books that the Vatican has, the lost books of the Bible that they have had for centuries. I don't know if that's a rumor, but I heard that a long time ago.
Yeah,
am I choppy? Because I exchanged earbuds hoping this works.
Yeah, you're still choppy.
Yeah, you're still choppy, unfortunately.
Choppy. And then it's my app. Okay. Back on mute. As a matter of fact, I put aside to work so I can come here. But since I'm being choppy, I'll drop off. And I'll see you guys when I see you. Good night.
Yeah, that's that story that you had talked about, Lorianne. I think I'd read something about that somewhere, just the other day.
What story?
The one that Lorianne was talking about the Bible and the book that they found. That was
There's no book that.
The chapter. I just posted a link to it in the chat room. If the chat room's still alive.
It looks like it's still there.
Yeah, they can claim they found books or whatever, but they're not authenticated. They have to go through the scholars that they put together to transcribe these have to be approved, and they have to go through rigorous. I forgot what kind of scale they use, but I mean, I could say, yeah, I found an old book. I think it's the Bible. You know, it's like the Book of Thomas and all that other stuff. That's all garbage. That's you know, they've just proved that over the years that they were not actually part of the gospel.
Yeah. But it's still interesting when they find stuff, though, like that.
Oh, yeah.
And now Lorianne's quiet.
Well, it was a chapter that the manuscript was found in the Vatican Library. And like you stated, he used a special ultraviolet photography to uncover the layers of words written on the same pieces of paper. It explains that parchment was hard to come by, so it was often reused, and people would write over it. And it has to do with chapter 12 of the book of Matthew. And so I think that that gives it some credibility because it's, you know, like a earlier version of that chapter in the book of Matthew. And the words are similar, but, you know, probably similar, but then it evolved. So it's a kind of interesting find. And it'd be interesting if they used that same, the same method on other materials, you know, scour the depths of the Vatican from her, you know, parchment that, and materials that were used to put into the Bible and see what else is there.
Well, I don't
understand
think
the
would,
evolution of it.
I think God, I don't, that means God lied then. He didn't preserve his word for all of us to see because if there, he, cause God's not going to hide his word for us to find later on down the road. You know, he's not going to, he's not, that means God lied because God promised that he preserved his word. So there's no like new discovery of words that were not kept, that we've never read before in the Bible. That like, oh no, you know, you got to remember the Vatican too. Oh my Lord, do you know what the Vatican is? The Vatican, the church that's built on seven hills. There's only two cities on the planet Earth that's built on seven hills: Rio de Janeiro and the Vatican City. And I'm in Rio de Janeiro. There's nothing there. There's nobody there. So the Vatican, and we know about the hill, the city that's built on seven hills. We know what comes out of there, right? The Antichrist.
Yep. That's what I've heard.
Very true. Well, I mean, the word of God might be the word of God, but then man gets their hands on it and crafts it the way, you know, man wants and wants those words to be.
Yeah,
I know, but that means God lied. He didn't preserve his word. If man is able to alter God's word and take away words and add words, then God lied, because God said he would promise to keep his word pure and clean for all of us to see. He made that promise. So then God, then that God, then whoever believes, you know, doesn't believe that God, then, you know, then that their God put him in a paper bag. He can't get out because, you know, that means God's a liar, because he promised that his word would be preserved pure for all to see. Yeah, are there corrupt versions out there of the Bible? Sure, corrupt versions.
Yeah.
The devil knows God's word better
than
anyone.
How do we know which is the right one then? How do we know that, you know, the Bible that, you know, I have in my house right now is the true version of it? I think the chances are pretty good over, you know, the last couple thousand years that the version that we have in our household that we believe is the true Bible probably isn't. Chances are it's one of those manipulated versions of it that we believe is the real thing but really isn't.
The King James Authorized Version is the seventh translation that was prophesized and foretold. That was the 1611 Bible. That's the King James Bible. That's the seventh translation. If you understand the translations of the Bible and understand the translation steps of the Bible and the historical, doctrinal, and inspirational Word of God and apply those three applications to that Word of God, then that is the true Word of God. Rightly divided. You got to rightly divide. Like it's like the book of 2 Timothy says, rightly divide as a workman approved unto God. You have to rightly divide the word and apply those three applications historically, doctrinally, and inspirationally.
I don't know. I can't help but be critical, you know. you know, once man's hands gets onto something, man tends to corrupt whatever it is it touches. And so that's why I'm pretty critical.
The devil corrupts it, not man. It's a devil. And God uses men to always to show his words through miracles, through his prophets, through everything, you know, the hand of God. And it all goes by faith and belief. If you don't have any faith and to believe that God can preserve his word, his perfect word, for all of us to see, and if you think that man's corrupted, then, like I said, that's your God, then put him in a paper bag. You can't get out. You know, God's not perfect. If man is so powerful that he can corrupt God's word, then man is more powerful than God.
Well, you know,
like you said, the devil also plays a part in it. Satan, man corrupted the actual word of God, you know, via influencing man's hand, then there you go. Man is influenced by both good and evil, by both God and Satan. And so there's that argument. So that kind of goes, okay, well, you know, like I said, it seems like, you know, the devil is in playing its part more and more in society today. And the more we look in history as well, there's very little of the righteous man and the godly man or mankind and a hell of a lot more Satan mankind with historical practices and things like that. Even going back, look at the Vikings, it all goes down
in the end. That's right. And that's what God says. In the end, that's what happens to earth. Yeah, that's what happens to man. There's a great falling away. That's right. And in the end, it all goes down. Everything is going to be destroyed here on earth. It's not going to survive. It's not going to last forever. Man's not going to make earth a more perfect place. Earth is going down. It will be destroyed. God will destroy it. That's
yep.
what he says. He has a plan. He has a reason.
Yep. And right now, you know, it's one of the things that I'm always talking about is that right now, the Lord of this world is not God. It's Satan, and God is trying to take it back.
Yeah, and he will take it back in the end.
Mm-hmm.
He destroys everything. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's not coming back as the Lamb of God to
no.
save the world. He's coming back to destroy the world. There'll be a gnashing of teeth. There'll be blood in the streets. There's not all this, God's a loving God. He's going to love, that he doesn't judge. God does judge. God does destroy. You know? I mean, it's all in the Bible. Look what he did. Look, he punished Israel for generations afterwards. You know, I mean, he's a jealous God. He's, you know, it says it. You know, there'll be no other God before him, period. End of story. He's God. He created us. We have no reason to put ourselves that we have no right to question him. He created us. And everyone that says, oh, when I get before God, I'm going to say this. You're not going to say nothing. Your face is going to hit the floor like everyone else, you know. And that's it. When you stand before God, your knees are going to be shaking. You ain't going to be able to stand there pointing your finger. Why you did this to me, God? You did this. God gave us everything we needed and what we had, and we rejected it. We rejected it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what the Bible proves. It proved His word to become true. What His real plan is for us in the end, and. That, you know, nobody can knows what God is, or we just can't even imagine what God is. You know, he's so perfect and good and large and powerful. We don't have no way of knowing, and our minds can't grasp it. We can't even see God, it says. We're nowhere near God. We can't even come in his presence. He's so good because we're corrupted by sin.
Well, One of the things that I was wondering, and this one's directed at Lorianne, right now, could I get a what time your show is on Sunday? I think it's on Sunday.
Yeah, it's 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday night. This is Libertarian, and it's a three-hour show for now. I might be going down to the two-hour plan, though, starting next month for financial reasons, so I'll have to try to work that out with Blog Talk. But for now, it's still a three-hour show.
Yeah, I've been doing more and more.
We're playing. I don't understand. How does that work? I don't get that. Because isn't all the shows, aren't all the shows the $39.95 a month, isn't that 2 hours plus an hour of overtime?
I'm on the gold plan. So the Blog Talk has three different plans. The silver plan is the 2 hour, gold is 3 hour, and then platinum is 4 hour.
Really? Because I've been paying $39.95, or that's what the plan I was under. That there's three plans, right?
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah. Okay. So the silver.
Yeah. So
plan
I'm on the gold
is...
plan for 3 hours, but I got on a deal for 30% off. So instead of paying $100,
okay,
I'm paying $70, and then that's what makes the Direct Connect available for callers. You know, when you go to the show's link, that's what, being on the gold plan, that Direct Connect is always available for anybody that clicks on it on the link. But on the two-hour plan, that Direct Connect is only available for the show host or anybody that you email the link to use it or whatever. So, yeah, there's...
Oh, okay.
Different benefits than like the platinum plan, which is like $250, like way too rich for my blood for the 4 hours. That one, your show will always be featured on Blog Talk Radio's homepage. So your show will always show up right there on the homepage as one of the featured shows. Some more promotion and stuff. And then there's some other perks to it too.
Maybe if we can get this coalition of hosts to be big enough, maybe we can go to that route and do the platinum or whatever.
I don't know. Right? I think that because my show, I'm on the $39.95 one, and I have all callers. I've had numerous callers, and I don't think I have the Direct Connect though. That's the only thing I don't think I have. I don't know. I never tried it.
Well, I've got Direct
Connect. No, you
don't.
And if you're on the two-hour plan, then you'll have the Direct Connect available to you as the show host. Like, you can use it to start the show, but it doesn't show up for anybody else unless you email invite in your episode setup.
Mm-hmm.
If you email
okay.
invite the co-host or whatever, then they can use the Direct Connect, but it's just not available for everybody. But since I'm on the gold three-hour plan, when you go to my show link and we're live, then you'll always see that Direct Connect as an option to connect.
Got you.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that.
I know I
Direct Connect because I'm on the $39 one too, and I had it for a long time where I was only paying $28 a month. So
Where did Mike get off of here? I missed Mike. I must have freaking dozed off or something. I must have stepped out. Where the heck did he go?
I'm not exactly sure. I got three people on here. One of them's a 111 number. Then I've got 336, and then Lorianne 503.
I'm talking about Mike. Mike is the one that was talking in the beginning. Remember, he was talking from Florida.
No, I think he's still here.
I don't think he's 305.
Oh, okay, I got...
Yeah,
yeah,
I know most people dropped out of the chat, so there's only Gibson, myself, and you in the chat room, so I don't know who's still hanging out on the phone.
Wow.
Well, I've got, like, there's me, and then there's the 111 number, there's a Skype number, and I'm not sure who that is, but they're all three of them are on. 336 is there, and 503 is there, and they're all four are
Where's
listed as
being tonight. Where's Sarge tonight? Sarge check in tonight?
I haven't heard it. I haven't seen him unless, you know, and he usually comes in with a 111 number. But
yeah.
He did come in with a 706 number one time.
Well, you had a full house tonight, huh?
Oh, I did. I had like 7 or 8 people on the phone at one time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I took a picture of it, too, because that's the most I've ever had on the phone at one time.
Well, if you stick around with us long enough, that'll happen. You know, my show last week, I had quite a turnout. Like the whole gang showed up, and I was like, "Wow, okay."
Well, you know, to me, it's really awesome because, you know, it's like I was talking to Joe for a while. I've done this show since about 2007, and from 2007 until about 2011. Nobody ever called. Nobody ever came into my chat room. And it's like, it was like I was talking to myself, but there were people who came in and listened after the fact. And for a while, Blog Talk Radio actually showed the individual people who came in. And I had shows that had 100, 200, 300 people showing up, but they were all after the show was over.
Yeah, yeah. That's how mine was,
so,
you know. Yeah, you're right.
So
now my call board... My call board, I'd get 25, 30 people on there. I can't handle them all.
Yeah, so like tonight having 8 on there at one time, that was just awesome. I said, yay, this is great.
But see, a lot of them are scams, too. That I get a lot of trolls. Like, yeah, man, you're coming to my freaking chat room. You see them swearing at me, calling me asshole names.
I've had a few of those myself. And I know there for a while there was one part where at the first part of the show New Orleans wake up, he kept saying cut that guy down, I want to say something, and he's in. Let me speak. Let me acknowledge and speak. He said, he was saying all kinds of things there for a while, and then he finally just shut up and left. But yeah, I had him on the phone. He could have spoke up if he wanted to, because I had him there, but he just never said a word.
Yeah, that's Brother Warren.
His
mouth.
Yeah, there was one section where he said to shut that guy up. I need to say something that is a public service announcement. And I just let him talk. I figured, yeah, this is great. I, you know, because like I was saying at the beginning of the show, I really didn't get a chance to work on my show today like I normally do, because I'll come in with my show normally with about 50, at least 50 pages of printed stuff that I can fall back into. And tonight I had 3. Because it was just too hot. It was just too hot in here to do anything. So I didn't.
Your AC broke, huh?
Yeah, I usually like do a lot of prep for my show. Like, okay, I have all these articles opened up in tabs and clips ready to go to play. And then, you know, I rarely even get to hardly any of it because, you know, people call in and then we all get talking my show never goes according to plan.
Yeah, I never do any prep work, never. I learned that lesson a long time ago. You'll never get to it.
this time I didn't, but there for a long, long time, I'd have 50 pages every show and I'd go through every bit of it because nobody was ever there. So it's great to be able to sit back and other people can talk now, and I'm not having to.
See, you have the option, too, to call people, you know. You have a studio line. You can call people.
Yeah, I kind of saw that, and I've never used it, but.
I call politicians. I call police departments, everybody.
Hmm. Yeah, I've got, it's like I've got Yvette Harrell's phone number. I could probably do that to her. See
live
what happens.
Reporting, man.
Yeah, I've never used that either. Like, I see that the icon is there, but I've never used it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a powerful tool. You know, call people, harass them.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you can say that Blog Talk Radio does wrong, but there's that studio of theirs is just absolutely probably one of the best ones I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. The
one thing
that I'd like them to be able to do, though, is with the audio clip, is actually be able to pause an audio clip so that you can comment and resume it. I hate that it's this all or nothing shit, you know?
I might just mention that. I might just mention that to them because there was one time when I first started doing this, there was no volume control on your audio clips. They played the volume that they were. And I actually got a hold of Blog Talk Radio one day and said, it would be great to put a volume control on your audio clips. And then about a couple of weeks later, there was one. I thought, wow, maybe they listened to me or probably – A bunch of other people said it. But
remember the old chat rooms they used to have? Remember the old chat rooms?
Yeah. Yep.
I like those chat rooms, man. I don't like the new chat rooms. I never liked them. I complained and complained. And they just would never switch back.
Yeah, the old chat rooms were pretty good. But when they start put those volume controls on the audio clips, I thought that was great. But maybe I'll go ahead and talk to them about Maybe I'll go ahead and talk to them about being able to pause it, because I've actually done that where I've recorded them, and I've recorded them like in about 8 different sections so I can play one section and then get in there and say what I needed to and then play the next section. That's a little bit of work.
Yeah, I know. That's rough. I still don't know how to edit my shows, though. I don't know how to edit them.
In what way?
Anyway, I know there's people that know how to edit really good. They could like splice it up real good, and and I just can't figure it out.
Hmm. Well,
you would have to download your show audio,
mm-hmm.
and then I use this freebie software called Audacity.
Yeah, Audacity.
A-C-I-T-Y.
Yeah, I used to use that.
Yeah, that's what I've
mainly
used because, the program's right. And that's where you can go in and, cut out the audio, tweak it. That's what I've used to do, like, my show intro to, do my voice recording and then add the background music to it.
Oh, wow. Really? That'd be nice.
Yeah, I myself use GarageBand for that, and pretty much do everything.
Man, I'm very computer.
GarageBand?
Yeah, it's on a Macintosh, Apple computer,
wow.
And it's a free thing too.
Huh. I have all that stuff on my desktop. On my desktop, I have every kind of tool there is. I don't know how the hell to use it.
And then
I'm very computer.
Then on the weekdays, I do Monday through Thursday, I do what a kind of a Rush Limbaugh type thing where he did the updates and they were video. I put them into iMovie and I put them on Rumble every Monday through Thursday.
What did you think? Hey, Lori, what did you think of that stuff?
Oh, interesting. GarageBand is also available for Windows, it looks like.
Hmm. Yeah, I love GarageBand.
Oh my God, that's right.
What do you think of that stuff I put in the chat there on Facebook with the Joe Biden's Hunter's book link? What do you think about that? On Facebook. I put it on Facebook.
Oh. I don't go on Facebook very often. I'm going to have to do that, huh?
In the group chat, I put that link in there for Biden's book.
No. Biden's book.
Hang on, let me scroll up and look. How long ago was it?
I think it was yesterday or
We the People Preserve the Spirit of Resistance?
Nope.
Is that YouTube?
Not that.
No?
Nope. Keep going. It was in the group chat.
Oh, the report on Biden laptop. Oh, yeah. I have that link still open. It's like 640-something pages, I think.
Yeah. But it's got a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah, okay. It would take me a little while to read through all that. I did send it along to a couple of people. I'm like, here, you can read this if you get bored, you know.
Well, you can just scan through it, you know. That's what I did. See, I'm a speed reader. I could read like a 300-page book in like 4 hours, you know. Just scan.
God,
it. But
not
when
me.
It comes, when I, yeah, but I'm stupid when it comes to computers. You ask me, I don't know nothing, you know. How to open a PDF thing or whatever. I'm stupid when it comes to that stuff. I just can't do it. How to make a video, like the video I was making on Facebook. I can't figure out how I did it that night. How to make a live video.
Nope.
I still don't know what I did.
I used to do a thing where I would do my show, but I would also video it on StreamYard.
Yeah, my StreamYard, I've used that. I just can't figure out the YouTube studio or anything. I can't figure it out, man. I can't make live videos for nothing. I'm just bad. I can't do it. I don't know how to do the background. I mean, my office here is a mess, and so everybody can see my office, you know, and I don't like that, you know. And I ain't cleaning up this damn office.
You know, I don't get onto YouTube after they kick me off, so.
Oh, yeah, you told me they kicked you off. Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't been kicked off.
Because I had something like about 200 and some videos on there, and then when they kicked me off, they got rid of every one of them. And about 6 months before that happened,
Rumble.
Yeah, about 6 months before that happened, I went to Rumble. So now I've got all my stuff on there.
Yeah, Rumble or BitChute.
Yeah.
My BitChute account, all the videos are large. I don't know how to shrink down the screen. It's like, you know, the whole screen takes up the whole page. I'm not what I did. My settings, I don't know what I did to it.
How about the resolution?
I don't know. I don't know. What, I just don't. No, it can't be that because the resolution's okay on all the other ones.
Yeah. Well, I've got all my stuff on Rumble. And my daily updates, I call them NWCR's Removing the Liberal Blindfold. I fell on that name one time, and I thought, that's great.
I wish I could do live videos, man. I just can't figure it out.
Well, I did live videos, but there was, you know, it's like I would do stuff and actually make mistakes in what I was talking about, or I'd misread something, and I'd have to go back and reread it. Well, with doing my videos the way I do on iMovie, I can do my video and then go in and actually cut those parts out so I get rid of the mistakes. And it's not live, but it's, you know, I have it online within an hour of the time I do it. So, now we're all quiet.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking of I haven't talked to him for a while, but a Facebook friend, Alan McFarland, he used to be Laughing Libertarian, and he used to do those videos and, you know, he learned how to do it with the help of some friends and stuff, you know, to create like that background, you know, so it's him, but he can create the background. And do all that kind of stuff. I should maybe reach out to him and see if maybe he'd be willing to help you out with figuring out, because I've never been able to figure out that either. But then again, I haven't wanted to do video. Because I hate the way I look on video. I see myself on video, and I'm like, oh, God, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to put myself on video. You know, I'm not as pretty as I used to be, you know, 20 years ago.
I don't think
you'd be
it.
Too critical.
Well, you sound good anyway.
Yeah,
radio,
I hate my voice, actually. I can't stand listening to myself. I guess I'm my own worst critic. Like, I really think that I have a shitty radio voice. I'm always amazed that people actually listen to me. You know?
Oh, I think you got a great radio voice. I think my voice sucks, but you know, it's like my wife. She says, "Oh, you're a good singer. You sound good on the radio. You sound good doing this." And I thought, okay, well, fine.
Where are you from? Wisconsin? You're from the Midwest, aren't you?
Which one?
You.
No, I'm actually from the West here. I grew up in Colorado and New Mexico. Mexico, and I lived in Oregon for a while, lived in Beaverton, and then I went to Indiana, and I was there for about 10 years, and I didn't like it there, but my wife wants to go back.
Indiana, you got the Indiana accent. You got that Wisconsin, Indiana type of accent.
Yeah.
I'm born and raised in Minnesota, but moved to Oregon when I was 23, and I'm in Salem now, and I'm 50. So do the math. I've been in Oregon for a long time.
I've been living down here in the South. I don't sound like a Southerner, that's for sure. That's what they tell me.
Oh, Lorianne, you're still young, though. This year,
tell
my birthday.
Tell my body that.
This year, my birthday made me. Yeah, this year, my birthday made me older than I've ever been in my life.
Well,
you know, I know the feeling. Same thing when I turned 50 in March. I've never been so old.
Yeah, I turned 70 in September.
Well, it was exactly 1 year ago today that my dad passed away. In about 4 hours, actually. I was up in Connecticut last year at this time, and he passed away. He was only 67 years old.
Yeah, my dad
was.
My dad was 69 when he died. He died in 98.
He was always on my podcast with me. Always. He always did my shows with me. Always. So it was real hard. It's been real hard to do them without him. You know.
Yeah. I know.
Well,
I lost
I'm sorry.
My mom.
It's a 1 year anniversary. That's kind of a sad day, but you know, hopefully spending time with us helps. A little bit.
Yeah, I know. I lost my mom October 31st of this last year, so she was around for a while. But my dad, I lost him in 98, so it's been a while since he's been gone.
How old was your dad?
He was 69. He died in February, and in July he'd have been 70. So this year when I turned 70, was a little hard for me because I became older than he was.
Yeah, it's hard losing a parent, you know. I mean, when you lose your, you know, my dad and I, what we were like, I called him every single day. Every day I talked to him on the phone, you know. So this year has been hard, you know.
Yeah, that's what I found out with my mom, you know, is I called her every week and now I can't.
Yeah.
But at least my brother's still around. He's down in Texas.
Well, when you have plans and then those plans don't come to, you know, it's kind of like leaves a void in your life, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, you know, he helped me out a lot. And, you know, he was, you know, like I said, you know, we were a team, you know? And you know, he just died suddenly, too. He got sick and he had cancer. We didn't even know he had cancer. Nobody knew. I guess maybe he knew and he kept it from me. I don't know. Nobody knows, but he got sick and bang.
That was a different generation though, because they just didn't talk about things that went wrong.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming up on the top of the hour for the third hour, so.
Yeah, well, that wipes you out then.
And that'll stop everything except for when, you know, I think this thing will go for like, I've gotten 3 hours and 8 minutes, I think, is the most I've ever gotten out of this, and then it just ends. So
interesting, because I can go forever, you know. You usually can go forever, like it's not part of the show recording, but I know that one trick that I always, you know, is I think you're doing it too, is I start my show using the Direct Connect, and I just, you know, mute my laptop, and then I call into the guest line using my cell phone, and I use the Direct Connect, you know, to start my show, and then as my backup, so that, you know, if we're into overtime and my cell phone hangs up, then I can, you know, switch my audio over to the Direct as my backup. But yeah, I mean, we go for hours. Last night, you know, Joe and I were on, you know, really late.
Yeah, I know you guys were there for a while, because when I went in, the live part of the show had ended, but the chat room was still there. So I started talking in the chat room. I said a few things. And
I didn't hang up with Joe Gibson last night. What time was it? I think it was like 11:30 my time or something when we finally let you go.
Yeah,
I know. After the top of the hour, I think I've got about 3 or 4 minutes in there that I can play around with, and then my studio just shuts down, and I can't anything
else.
Yeah,
that's after the bonus hour ends.
Yeah,
and everything's dead on the switchboard. You don't know who else is on, but you can still keep talking with whatever you know, still there.
Well, there have been times when I've like done that. I've gotten to about the seventh or the eighth minute after that third hour when I go into the fourth hour, and it'll go about 8 minutes, and then everything just stops. And even if I keep talking, it just says I've been disconnected and there's nothing there.
Huh.
So I'm not sure. I'm going to have to try that one of these nights and see how far I can go. Because I know right now it's this thing that I call in on. It says I've been on for 3 hours and 9 minutes and 28 seconds. So.
Yeah, you can still go on. It won't cut you off. Hmm. I don't think it will.
The only time it actually cut me off was when I called in as the host using my cell phone. And I didn't use the Direct Connect. And then... when the bonus hour ended and the switchboard shut down, then Blog Talk hung up on everybody, including me. That's the only time it's ever done that to me.
It's
and so that's another reason why I always use the Direct Connect to start the show, you know.
Yeah, I use the Direct Connect to start and end the show. And when the chat room and the studio shuts down, that end episode is gone. And I keep forgetting that other thing is behind everything, you know, where I can end the call. But
yeah, I forget that too.
And I've gone like
that sometimes too.
I think I've gone at the most 3 hours and 8 minutes, and then it just ends on me. And I mean, I can be in the middle of a sentence and it'll just end on me. So I don't know. I'm going to have to try it one of these nights, I guess. But we're coming up on the top of that hour, and I want to end my show because I've got it's 10 o'clock here,
all
and
right.
I need to go to bed. So I'll...
All right. You have a good night.
Oh, you too. And thanks for calling in, and I'll be at Lori Ann's show on Sunday, I guess. And
sounds good.
All the other
I'll
ones.
Look for you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
Tomorrow night is Donnie C show. If you want to call in to Donnie C show tomorrow night. I'm a regular on that as well. And then Sunday night my show.
I will do that.
All righty.
Okay. Well, you guys have a great night and God bless you all, and I'll talk to you later.
Okie dokie. Thanks for having us on. Have a good night yourself.
Okay, see you later.
Bye.
Bye. I'm going to end this show now and play my ending theme, which is Get Out of Denver by Bob Seger, and I'll talk to you all later. See you on Monday. God bless you all.